జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తు సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శిష్యు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శిష్యుల ప్రభుపాద్ నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమద్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వన్నో యత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదికవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్రవరమో నర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వోపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్రకృతి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనువేదమవేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాతరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినీదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితి తీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణూకునిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం నా కనికాపి కాపికాపి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి సిద్ధాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారక ఏదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సో ఇన్ ది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం వి వర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది 51st చాప్టర్ ఇన్ ది 10th క్యాంటో వేర్ ది కింగ్ ముచుకుంద ఆఫర్స్ హిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ టు కృష్ణ. వి విల్ రీడ్ దోస్ వర్సెస్ బిఫోర్ వి కంటిన్యూ. శ్రీ ముచుకుంద ఉవాచ, దట్ ఈస్ వర్స్ 46 in the 51st chapter, chapter 51 verse 46.
Vimohitoyam janayesha mayaya todiyaya tvam na bhajati anarthadrik sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanjidaha labdhva janau durlabhamatra manusham kadanjil avyangamayatnato nakha పాదారవిందం న భజత్యసన్మదిర్ గృహాంధకూపే పతితో యథా పశు. మమైష కాలోజిత నిష్ఫలో గతో రాజ్యశ్రియో నద్ధమదస్య భూపతే మర్త్యాల్పబుద్ధే సుతధారకోశపుల్ ఆసజ్జమానస్య దురంధచిందయా. కళేబరేస్మిన్ ఘటగుఢ్యసన్నిభే నిరూఢమానో నరదేవమిత్యహం వృధోరథే పాశుపదాత్యనీకపైర్గాం పర్యణాం తుగణయన్ సుదుర్మదాః. ప్రమత్తముచ్చై ఇతి కృత్య చింతయా ప్రవృద్ధలోభం విషయేషు లాలసం త్వమప్రమత్త సహసా విపద్యసే క్షుల్లేలిహానో హిరివాఖుమందగాః. పురారథేర్హేమ పరిష్కృతైశ్చరన్ మదంగజైర్వా నరదేవ సంహితాః స ఏవ కాలేన దురధ్యయేన తే కళేబరో విల్కృమిభస్మ సంహితాః. నిర్జిత్య దిక్చక్రమభూత విగ్రహో వరాసనస్థా సమరాజవందితాః గృహేషు మైథున్యసుఖేషు యోషితాం క్రీడా మృగా పూరుషమీశనీయతే. కరోతి కర్మాణి తపస్సు నిష్ఠితో నివృత్తభోగతదపేక్షయా దదన్ పునశ్చ భూయేయమహం స్వరాడిది ప్రవృద్ధదర్శో న సుఖాయ కల్పతే. భవాపవర్గో భ్రమతో యదా భవేల్ జనస్య తర్హి అచ్యుత సల్సమాగమాః సల్సంగమో యర్హి తదైవ సల్గదో పరావరేషే త్వయి జాయతే మతీ. మన్యే మమానుగ్రహమీషతే కృతో రాజ్యానుబంధాపగమో యదర్చయా యపార్థ్యదే సాధువిరేకచర్యయా వనం వివిక్షద్భి అఖండ భూమిపై. నకామయేన్యం తవ పాదసేవనం అకించనా ప్రార్థ్యతమాధ్వరం విభో ആരാധ്യ കസ്വാം അപവർഗതം ഹരേ വൃണീതമാര്യോ വരം ആത്മബന്ധനം തസ്മാൽ വിസൃജ്യാശിഷം ഈശ സർവതോ രജസ്തമസത്വഗുണാനുബന്ധനാഃ നിരഞ്ജനം നിർഗുണം അദ്വയം പരം ത്വാം ഞപ്തിമാത്രം പുരുഷം വ്രജാമ്യഹം ചിരമിഹ വൃജിനാർത്ഥതപ്യമാനോനുതാപൈ അവിദൃഷഷഡമിത്രോ അലബ്ധശാന്തി കഥഞ്ചിൽ ശരണത സൗഭേദസ്തുൽപദാബ്ജം പരാത്മൻ അഭയമൃതമശോകം പാഹി മാ പന്നമീഷാഃ.
സോ that is the verses what is referring to Muchukunda's prayers to Krishna. So we have seen so far that Muchukunda glorifications in the Bhagavatam, what it refers to is that he was a king in the lineage of Ikshvaku. In the Bhagavad Gita you notice that Ikshvaku, king of the Ikshvaku lineage, that means Vaivasvata Manu, as it says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Manu, Ikshvakuve Bravid, it says. So from Manu, Ikshvaku has come, and from Ikshvaku, the other solar dynasty kings have come later. So this particular king, Muchukunda, is in that line. What is important here is that Muchukunda had an intense desire for yoga, for practicing yogam, Ashtanga yogam particularly. He has done all that but never satisfied with it. He was not satisfied with it. And it was at that time, finally, the demigods invited him to come to the heavenly planets. And he went there to fight with the demons there. After the fight was over, they asked him that what shall we give you as a token of gratitude for what Muchukunda has done for them. Muchukunda says to them, if it is possible, I would like to have the following. He says to them that I have more or less come to the conclusion, all this administration business of the kingdom and this world itself and this throne, all this kind of thing, this is all a waste of time. I've come to that conclusion, he says. And not only that, when I look back into my own tradition among the kings before me, they were all very realized souls. Ikshvaku and many others, they were all very realized souls, he says. Then, Ikshvaku, I was born in that lineage of Ikshvaku. Because you see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam. Vaivasvan manuve praha manu ikshvakuve bravid. He says there. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo. They were all rajarshis. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? They were all rajarshis. In other words, when a king turns into a rishi or a sage, he is called a rajarshi. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. But Krishna also put one catch there. Sakale neha mahada yogo nashta parandava. The catch is this, that it's not necessary that all of them were great souls, no doubt, but doesn't mean that the spiritual potency remained. It didn't stay. Krishna says there. All they were there, but in course of time, it got broken. Not that everyone followed the same. The whole of Solar dynasty didn't go through that. Somewhere in between it is broken. Many places it gets broken. It is a fact. That spiritual potency doesn't stay anywhere permanently. It always breaks. Somewhere it will break and then it will go. So that's what he was saying. Krishna indicated that there. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakale neha mahada. Due to the influence of time, he says. Due to the influence of time, yoga mahada yogo nashta parandava. Yogam has gone. But Shastram was there. Shastram, as it was written, it was all there. Upanishads were there. Brahma Sutram was there. So many things were there. But Yogam has gone. What does Yogam mean? Yogam means from the Shastram, personalities who have practiced and realized and who could continue delivering the others in that way. That is broken. That's gone. That's what Yogam means. So yoga was gone, shastram was there. Sakale neham hada, Krishna put that there, yoga nashta parandava. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will notice that in that chapter. So many Raja Rishis, they were there. Krishna has instructed Vaivasvan to Manu, Manu to Ikshvaku. In this way, one after the other, the knowledge of the self, they have that estate, the knowledge of the self estate, and they administered the planet. They administered the planet in the realized state. In the realized state. Best example in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita you will see King Janaka, isn't it? He was even realized state, he could continue with this administration of the world. He did like that. So he mentions here that that Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So you can see that even today it is a fact of life. That you can look into many, many ashrams, temples, institutions, spiritual institutions, everything. If you observe carefully, you will notice there that spiritually a very potent, elevated personality comes. When he comes to this world, centered around him, an ashram develops, or a spiritual institution develops around him. Centered around him, it will develop. And then his disciples come. And by one or two generations, it is gone. It's gone completely. It's not possible to get that back again. Because that person who has actually was realized, he is not there anymore. So what happens afterwards is that, so there will be, next by the parambara, the disciplic succession goes. So first time the disciples come, then disciples themselves will minimize it. Whatever the preceptor or the acharya has established, the first disciples themselves, they will cut it off a lot. A lot of it will go with their taking control of the situations. They will lose it. Majority of it will go at that time. There's no point in glorifying that. It is a fact of life. It happens all the time, everywhere, not only in one institution. So, by the time the next one comes, the next generation comes, after the disciples, the next one comes, it will be practically a lot of rituals, a lot of temple buildings or ashram buildings, and nice roads, car parking, all other facilities will be there. The potency will be completely gone from there. It cannot stay. That's the way it is, unfortunately. That's the nature of spiritual life. So this is a fact of life. That's why, so here, Krishna, he says here, by the third generation or so, that vastu will completely be finished, will be gone from there. Then what is left behind will be a lot of dead matter. Dead matter. Spiritual life is all centered around spirit soul. If the soul is not vibrant and if the spiritual realization is not there, spiritual activities are not there, it simply becomes a matter dealing with the matter. Completely matter and matters, things related to matter will develop around that. So that is the way it is. So from here you can see Muchukunda is saying this. What is Muchukunda saying? Muchukunda is saying here, this is the system. This is the normal system. Just like you can see here that in a place, sometimes you cultivate a crop. After few times the crop is cultivated, the land has needs a change. Continuously if we use the same land for cultivation, it won't grow there. It won't grow properly well. So similarly, great Purusha, Mahapurushas or Mahatmas will come, and sometimes they will have a little bit parampara strength in them, and that will create this situation. And then afterwards you will see somewhere else in unknown place, another spiritually charged person will come out. Somewhere in the world. They give the example like in the certain plants for the herbs particularly for Ayurvedam. They will go in the garden, but you don't cultivate them. But if you go into the garden and look for them, you will find there. Particularly after the rainy season and all. If you look for that, you will find there. So similarly, you cannot grow this thing. This spiritually advanced people, you cannot make them grow. It has to happen by nature's arrangement. Just like these plants, they will come out at some places, wherever it is meant to happen. So, but you cannot farm them, in other words. You cannot create that on your own. So, somewhere else it will grow up. So, somewhere some great souls will come out. That is the system. And at that time, the parambara will be, wherever others have started, that parambara will be broken. It cannot stay. Here, Muchukunda is saying to Krishna, it appears to me that the parambara is broken in me, he says. It's broken with me. It's broken because I'm not getting it. See how open and honest about it. He's not making a show of it, saying that everything is fine. Nothing is fine, he says. It, with me, it's broken. He says to Krishna like that. That because, and he, not only that, you have to remember that he was a great yogi as well. Ashtanga Yogam, he has practiced it, and he has a good control of the mind, senses, and bodily control, everything. Very disciplined life he has led. So therefore he says to him, that days to the demigods like this, he said, if you cannot instruct me on transcendental knowledge and give me the transcendental realization, then it is no point in me talking to you, he says to the demigods. So they, if you can give that to me, please give it. If not, forget about it. I don't need anything from you, he says to them. So the demigod says to him, if we were in a position to give it to you, this transcendental spiritual realization, we won't be sitting here like this. The demigods are saying this to him. We won't be here like this in these positions, what we are now here. And we cannot do that. We'll be very open about it and saying to him, saying to Muchukunda, that we cannot give you that transcendental knowledge. We don't have it ourselves to that extent. If you can ask us something else, we can offer that to you. So Muchukunda says to him, I don't need anything. The reason he says, if I get something else from you, it's a danger. He says to, Muchukunda says to them, if I get something else from you, it's a danger. Because from there, another karma parambara will start. I will be absorbed in some karma with that. And karma will create bondage for me, and which I do not want anymore. Rather, I'll withdraw from the world. I do not want to continue with that. So it's more danger. It is dangerous for me to start that. And therefore, I don't want it. So then he says to the demigods, that all right, if it is like that, I will mention one thing, he says to them. I'm very tired, he says. I'm very tired. I can't do anything now. But I do not want to go back and to be in charge of a kingdom anymore. I don't want to be in charge of any kingdom. I don't have any desire. Till I get satsangam, he says, till I get satsangam, wherever I get it, I'm going to lie down somewhere and I want to sleep. I want to sleep. Muchukunda says to the demigods. So, without starting another project, another karma parambara, continuation of the karma further, I would like to put a stop to it and I'll live somewhere in peace and sleep or whatever I want to do, but I don't want to start any more karma. So all you can do for me now, I just want to sleep. And good thing about the sleep, what he says to us, even if I have not acquired anything good, at least I won't acquire anything bad. That was Muchukunda's words about it. Obviously, Muchukunda knew the impact of karmam in this world, how karmam binds a person, and how karmam creates karmavasana. Karmavasana means bondage, further bondage. So that's why he says here. So he says here, so please bless me so that I can go and sleep somewhere. I can go and sleep somewhere. He is a great yogi, Muchukunda. And he says to him that he can even speak in the samadhi state, but just like he wanted to sleep for a very long period of time, not for a short period of time, very long period. Just like, these polar bears and all go on hibernation. And similarly, he wants to go and sleep for a very long period of time. So, Muchukunda also says to the demigods that, and demigods gave that power to him. So such things can happen. That is not unusual thing. Such things can happen. That people have, when we hear this story, if we do not have a little bit understanding of this, it's possible that people will think that these are all manufactured stories. People may come to think, but it is not like that. Actually, there are people who can sleep for a very long period of time, withdrawing from the world. In a samadhi state, they can stay like that. There are people who can control their eating habits, control their eat. If they don't eat for months and months, they can live like that. There's possibility of doing that in the yoga practices, without drinking water, completely stopping the system inside and able to maintain this body in this world. There are so many things connected with the yoga practices. So now and then you hear about them, but they don't come out very often to the world to see what is happening with them. So that is all special siddhis, what they have cultivated in that way. And due to some special reasons, it happens in certain people also. So if you ask the question why, there is no point in asking that question. The question has no meaning. So here Muchukunda also was given this blessing by the demigods that he could go and sleep as long as he want. So he went and slept in this cave for a long period of time. But one thing interesting here is, when the demigods gave these blessings to him, they tied it down with another thing. This is the everything in this world is like that. Everything in this world is like that. Any karmam in this world, that one karmam will be linked with another karmam in this world. That's the nature of the world. That's the nature of this world. For example, if a grass has to move, correspondingly there must be some movement somewhere in the planet. In the planet there must be some other movement. In the creation it is like that. Every karmam what we do in this world, correspondingly it will have some impact somewhere else. It's not totally independent. Any karmam, if you take for that matter, if you take it and look at it, you will see every single karmam is linked with something else. There will be some effect somewhere else due to that karmam. That's the system. Therefore, and it is also possible that when the demigods gave this blessing to Muchukunda, what they did was, they gave this blessing to Muchukunda. At the same time, they tied it up with the prarabdham of another person. With the prarabdham of another person. They told Muchukunda, you can go and sleep. But one thing, if anybody else comes and wake you up during the sleep, that person will be burnt into ashes straight away. This is how that blessing came from the demigods. Now, why the demigods gave like that? That's very difficult to say, because prarabdham is there behind it. Kalayavana, who got burned in the cave, his prarabdham was to die like that. And when Muchukunda opened his eyes, in that fire from his eyes, that has burned Kalayavana into ashes. So Kalayavana had to be killed and Muchukunda had to be woken up. And Muchukunda was given this benediction to sleep for a long period of time by the demigods, but it was tied down with Kalayavana's death. So this is how karmam works in this world. Every karmam, if you observe carefully, you will notice that there is some after effect of that. It will have its effect in some other way. That's what always happens. So they gave this benediction to him, that if anybody comes and wake you up, and you will wake up, if you wake up, he will have to be burned into ashes in the fire from your eyes. So that's the way the karma works. So therefore, Upanishad says that when somebody is sleeping, also one should not wake them up abruptly. That's not allowed. There's a reason behind it. Particularly in the top two Upanishads are talking about that. Not to wake up anybody while they are sleeping, abruptly waking them up. So it says here that in the Brihadaranya Upanishad it says, Arama Masya Pashyanti Natam Pashyati Kaschana Tam Naidam Bhodaye Ityaho Durbhishajyam Asmai Bhavati.
what is happening is that a person is dreaming, and in the dream state, as well just like in the waking state, the person who is directing all the activities. Now in the waking state, the false ego is controlling all the activities of this world, what we are doing, isn't it? Similarly, even in the dream state, there is a director who is directing all the activities of the dream state. We are not conscious of that. Because when a dream appears, there must be a process by which dream should appear at a particular time in the sleep. And it is also, there is a set order it has to have. It may not be clear to us what that is. We may not know that, what that system, how the dream is structured. But there is somebody directing that dream from behind. Brihadaranyam is saying to us that Durbhishajyam Asmai Bhavati. He is not to be disturbed. He is not to be observed either in the waking or dream state. You can't see him. You can't see him. Tam Naidam Bhodaye Dityahu. When a person is fast asleep, if you go and wake him up, suddenly the mind, when it has to come back to the waking state, it has to get its position properly. This is a thing in the Ayurveda also. Ayurveda also says not to wake up people abruptly like that. When they wake up and they come back to the waking state from the dream state, the mind takes its own time to move away from the dream state to the waking state. Mind has to occupy so many places in the body because nobody knows the location of the mind. So when the mind comes back to its position, wherever it is meant to go, if you do not give time for the mind to come back, sometimes the mind may go into the wrong place and it can cause problems inside. These are all the subtle side of the body. That's what he says here. Durbhishajyam asmai bhavati. Even there is no medicine for that cure when such a thing happens. If you wake up someone abruptly and he wakes up, and suddenly sometimes people wake up like that, isn't it? And that disturbs the mind to such an extent it sends shock waves through the body. In other words, in our nervous system and all, it can cause some problems. Therefore, it is not recommended. And that is why when this, we're talking about this, tam nayadam bhodayedityahu, he says. Tam nayadam bhodayedityahu. That means one has to be careful to bringing back a person into the vacant state. So, here, these are different phases. That means vacant state is one phase. Dream state is another phase. And deep sleep is another phase. So, when we move from one phase to another phase, and it needs time for the jiva, for the living entity, to make that move from one phase to another. Upanishad says like this, he went and slept in that, in the cave. He went and slept in the cave. At that time, Krishna has come there after killing Kamsa. Krishna has come there after killing Kamsa. And he has installed Ugrasena as in charge there. And Kamsa had two wives, Asti and Prapti. Now you can see, the people like Kamsa, they will have two wives also like that, Asti and Prapti. See, Asti means what? You got it now. That's what it means, the word. So sometimes in Puranam, when you observe, you will notice that some of the names of the personalities in the Puranas, is a reflection of their nature also. Asti means what you have got now. Prapti means something you have to acquire in the future. So, in future, I need that. So, just like people say, I need to make so much money in the bank, deposits. So that's prapti. In future, how much they want to have. And what I have got now is asti. They call also asti, isn't it? So when this Upanishad says, Brihadaranyam says like this, mind has to disconnect itself from the senses. Because even in the dream state, the mind is working with the senses. For example, how it operates, we can look at this way. It is interesting to study this dream state. Say there is a wall standing, a brick wall, and you have gone and banged your head on the brick wall in the dream state. And the dream blood will start flowing. Dream blood starts flowing. So all that experience to happen, the senses has to be there, the mind has to be there. So mind, in conjunction with the senses, it has to give you that experience, although in the dream state. So, and when you give a jerk to a person who is sleeping, the mind has to come back to their respective senses and bodily limbs, into the different places in the body in a very abruptly. So, if it misses its location, then it may create a shock wave in the body. That is what it says. Durbhishajyam asmai bhavati. He says. Durbhishajyam asmai bhavati. So, you can see how the rishis say, they see this body. They don't see like the modern medicine sees this body. Isn't it? We don't look at this body in that way at all. We think this body is something that should do according to my vasana, according to my desire, it has to function all the time. If it's not functioning, I think something wrong with my body. Body is not listening to me. But on the other hand, to look after this body in a proper way, as the way the rishis did, that is a different art altogether. They gave importance to so many other things as well. So anyway, these two, Asti and Prapti, they are both children of Jarasandha. Jarasandha's children, isn't it? In Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is pretty unusual. Many things are like that. It will be look like stories, but in behind them, there must be something. When they give names like this, Asti and Prapti, you never heard a name like that to anybody. Asti and Prapti. There are so many names like that in the Bhagavatam. So they were born as children. They were born as children. And sometimes you will see that they had a children called Ragam. Or another one called Dvesham. So names like that, Raga Dvesham, two children also, like will be there, born from them. So, and then they will say they had grandchildren from them. And they had another similar names, they will give it to them. So they'll say they got married. The grandchildren got married and something like that without any connections. So many things you will find in the Puranams like that. So therefore what happens is that people, they take Srimad Bhagavatam and start doing research with Bhagavatam. When they start doing research with Bhagavatam, what happens is they're saying in some places very topmost knowledge in a very nice way spoken, and giving very accurate understanding of the truth and spoken in a very structured and organized way. In some other places, it's spoken in a completely casual way without any seriousness and giving all sorts of funny names like this, Asti and Prapti and all that. Doesn't make any sense. For example, you can see that Chitrakedu had 10 million wives. And Krishna has been dancing with 110 million gopis in the rasa dance. According to the figure given in the Bhagavatam, is 110 million, it says. 110 million, to dance with 110 million. Things like that. Ugrasena had 4 billion servants. 4 billion servants Ugrasena had. So all these things you will see in the Bhagavatam like that. And on the other hand, you also have the highest knowledge spoken in a very, very serious way, like particularly the Upanishad's conclusions, spoken very seriously in the Bhagavatam. And everything is very perfectly spoken there. So, on the other hand, a lot of stories without any much connection also. And these two are linked together. Ordinary things like that and the transcendental knowledge is also linked together. what is the purpose behind it? What is the reason behind it? How good Vedavyas was in his... He is trying to get some message to us, right? That's what he wants to do. He wants to get some message to us. And he is struggling with it, how to get it into our head. Because we have a problem in us. What is that? For us, everything has to be logical. Logic is the language of the mind and brain, isn't it? In our world, we always say this, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make, it doesn't look logical to me. We say like that. So this connection with the mind, brain and logic, this connection, it is difficult to break that. For example, if I look at the watch now and I say to everybody, it's 20 to 4. You will all accept that. You look at your watch as, yes, it's 20 to 4. Why? The brain is programmed in that way, to accept time. It's a part of our logical process. Similarly, space also. It's a logic that has been implanted inside. That say from here to Radlett is 4 miles or to Stanmore is 5 miles, something like that. Some fixed idea in our head. This is a problem with us. It doesn't help in spiritual life. If we are programmed, although we may not be conscious of that, because dealing with this world, we have developed this consciously, we have accepted this logic in everything. So when we bring this logic into spiritual life also, it doesn't work, it fails there. So they want to break this logical way of thinking inside us, so that when they talk to us about spiritual life, we will be able receptive to that. That is the reason behind it. You can think about it when you have time, how that can happen, how that will happen. This, it's a big problem, especially very intelligent people who have gone to university, got degrees and studied science and technology and all that, who has become so strongly grounded in logic and reasoning, they'll find it very hard when it comes to Bhagavadam. Very difficult in spiritual life, because in spiritual life, this mind and intelligence is of no use much, as far as realizing the things are concerned. That's where the difficulty is coming from. So here you can see that but because these logics is actually an obstacle or a block for us in realizing the truth. In realizing the spiritual truth, this logical mind and logical brain is a strong obstacle. It's a very strong obstacle. And it is holding us back all the time. That is why so many times Krishna is saying to us, you are not this body. We won't accept it. We will still say, who says we are not this body? Some logic you will find, because in our inside, that conviction, that strongly based on the logic, that identification with the body is so strong. And in spite of the fact that Krishna has presented a very scientific way to telling us that, look, when the eyes are functioning, the mind is functioning, behind that there is the soul. We won't accept it. We're still thinking that, is it true? That there's a thing called the soul. So higher the position in this logic and reasoning, the more strong it is inside, the more difficult also it is for them to understand the Upanishads and the Shastram. It's difficult for them to... That is why he will give example. Vedavyas himself says this. He himself says this. I have no other way how to break this problem. He says, I have no other way how to break this problem. What people have got. So here you can see, example they give here, in the Yoga Vasishtham there is an example. A mother is telling a story to the child to sleep, to put the child to sleep. Now the story, if you hear what is spoken in the Vasishtham, is that mother says to the child that a barren woman had 4 children. One woman had four children. Child is going to sleep. He didn't ask any question. And mother stopped for a minute. Child says to the mother, continue now. Never asked any question. Continue, he says. So she says to him that one child did not come out of the womb, stayed in the womb. Another child did not come to the womb itself. And like this, he says, and these four children went on a pilgrimage. The child is enjoying the story and he is sleeping. And he is trying to sleep. And then he talks about that when they went into the forest, they saw the rabbits. And the rabbits had two big horns, he says. And the child is saying, child is just going, falling back to sleep again. And they kept on talking like this. And they had a knife with them. And they saw in the sky some fruits. They cut the fruits off with the knife. And they ate it when they were walking through the forest. And when they further go, they went into a desert. There was such a huge desert. But there were some nice trees and plants where they could find some water also. And they drank the water. Like that, without any connection, the story goes on and on. So, story goes like this. When we hear the story, we laugh at it. Adults will laugh at that story. But the child is listening to the story very happily. Child is listening to it very happily. We will say it is illogical. Is it not? We will say it is illogical because it is not based on logic, the whole thing. For us, it's not logical. So what's the meaning of this story? He says here, our logical brain is saying that. It's not logical. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to us, stay away from all that and look at the whole situation, he says to them. Because is your logic is the truth or the child's experience is the truth? The child is feeling happiness by hearing this story. By hearing the story, child is feeling happiness. Vedavyasa is saying, what meaning has your logic got? Logic has no meaning, he says. Logic is not the truth. But on the other hand, he says here that happiness what the child is experiencing is the truth. Because by your logic, you are not happy. You are not getting anything. And except that you created another headache inside and you gave it a name as logic to it. Yukti, they call it. Yukti to it. On the other hand, the child is very happy and he is in a very excited mood and he goes to sleep very well. So, and then the other person who is looking for the logic is sitting there still trying to find out the logic behind it. He's trying to find the logic behind it. So, this is why Maya, you do not look for logic. You have to know where to pull out of Maya and not look for logic in anything. Anything can happen in Maya. That's the nature of Maya. It mentions there that yukti shunya vastu prakashasya samnya maya. This is one definition of Maya. Yukti shunya vastu prakashasya samnya maya. Yukti shunya means where logic does not work. Yukti shunyam, there is no logic there. Such a vastu prakashasya, when that is working in this world, the name of that is called Maya. That is called Maya. So, but in order to get us out from this trap of logic, to get us out of this trap of logic, sometimes in Vedantam also they will use some logic to get us out from here. Many things are like that. When you realize it, you understand that. When you realize it, it has become a reality for you. Then you know that all your perceptions were wrong. So the same problem, when self-realization happens, that this identification with the body drops off from us, what will happen at that time? That why did it take so long to come out of it? You start thinking. When realization comes to us, as the spiritual realization comes at any time when it happens, we start wondering, why did it take so long to come from that in that ignorance to this point of knowledge? It's an amazing thing it is. It surprises many, many people who have come to that understanding. They look back and says that what was that was holding me back? They don't know. They don't know. So they say here that yukti or yukti shunya vastu prakashasya samya maya. So shrutyanugrahidam yukti. That means that yukti, that logic that in Vedantam they use, is allowed by the shruti. Vedam allows that. Certain logic Vedam allows. For example, this rajusarpam, that means the snake and the rope, that logic, it is allowed. Similarly, and the pot, sky inside the pot, ghatakasham, matakasham, they call it. The sky inside the pot and outside the pot, that is allowed. There are many things like that in the Upanishads which are authorized by Shruti to get the point across. They are allowed that. They do that. So, here, idea behind all these things is to get us beyond the phase of logic. The logic phase, phase of logic in other words. To get us beyond than that, they do all these things. So, one who has reached that stage, then if he reads Srimad Bhagavatam, he won't be confused. He won't get confused. He will not have any difficulty at all. He will enjoy Bhagavatam like the children were enjoying the story. He will enjoy the story. But very deeper subject when it comes, they can easily adjust themselves with that. To give you an example, realized soul, if you look at their behavior also in this world, suppose they are wandering around in this world, when they are in the association of a person of a different faith, they will work with them. They'll go along with them. They will not have no difficulty. Say somebody is worshipping Ganesh, he will become a devotee of Ganesh at that time. Somebody is worshipping Shiva, they'll become a devotee of Shiva at that time. Somebody is worshipping Vishnu, they'll become a devotee of Vishnu at that time. In this way, their change in them will be like that. And by chance, if they had to stay with materialists, they will become like a materialist, giving them instructions to them and all concerns with the material life also. So, and on the other hand, if he is in the association of other advanced devotees or realized personalities, he can fit in there also very well. So in other words, whoever comes in front of them, he can become like them. Now, in the psychology, they call it as multiple personality. This is not multiple personality. Multiple personality is a different thing. Because here, there is no personality. That is the difference. In psychology, they'll talk about this multiple personality, where people have a different way they can act in different place. And people wonder that they have a personality like that. But this is not that. Jnani's position is that they have no personality, in other words. Personality is connected with the false ego, isn't it? Personality and false ego are one and the same. So, they are saying, realized soul will tell us, personality itself is a disease. Personality itself is a disease. When that personality goes away, that is our perfection. Perfection is when we lose that personality. What is the proof of that? Proof is deep sleep state. Deep sleep state is the proof for that. Because what do we do when we go into the deep sleep state? We don't have a personality at that time. Isn't it? We have no personality. You are not a king. You are not a minister. You are not a prime minister. You are not a president. You are not a chief minister. You are nobody at that time. Nothing. Or MP or mayor. Nothing like that in that state, isn't it? Or not even a beggar. If you are even a beggar, you are not a beggar even at that time. Nothing there. Why? In that deep sleep state, you have given up everything. You have given up everything and you are sleeping at that time. You are sleeping at that time. And what happened here is that there is no personality at that time, and not only that, you are not again collecting anything. You are not becoming anything in the deep sleep. Isn't it? You notice that. In the dream state, sometimes you become a king, sometimes you become a beggar. All that thing can happen in the dream state. But when you go to deep sleep state, you are not becoming anything. Not only that, you are leaving your personality behind. Personality behind. So, and then after a deep sleep, when you wake up, you say, I had slept, I had a good time. You also report the same thing. So, just like you can see, when he wakes up in the morning, in the middle of the night also, he looks at the watch, what time is it? And he feels happy to go back to deep sleep again. Is it not? Goes deep sleep again. So when he knows that there's few more hours to go before to wake up, he feels a happiness. So why is that he's feeling happiness to go back to that state again? You have to ask that question. Why was I feeling happy to go back to that deep sleep state again in the middle of the night when I was woken up? Some people, they do not take notice of the deep sleep state very seriously. We take it in a different way. Because what normally happens is, you are losing your personality at that time. And personality, when you lose that, not only that, you are not short of anything. When we were comparing with that, you can see that whatever as a person you have acquired in this world, all that also goes away in that deep sleep state. As a person, whatever you have collected or took ownership in this world, house, car, and whatever wealth in this world you have, mind, what you are holding on to it, in that deep sleep, you are willing to leave that all the time, everything. Is it not? So, so including the knowledge of the Shastram also, everything becomes, so therefore, while they teach Vedantam, these things are taken very seriously, because in order to understand deep sleep state properly, it requires to be spoken a lot about through examples and through practices. So sometimes the teacher will tell the student that stay quiet, don't do anything, and withdraw from everything and stay in that situation. Because sometimes when we talk from the Upanishads, it may not be completely clear, and the person is struggling with it, is not experiencing anything, he will say that, I don't understand it well. I don't understand it properly. So sometimes the disciple will say to the teacher, then instruct me properly, he says, I could not understand that, he says. Teacher says to him, don't insist on that, that you should understand that, because it's not for understanding, he says to him. Imagine that is also another chittavritti, that I have to understand that. It's another chittavritti inside. So because it's a chittavritti, it's a vritti that comes in the chittam, that you can just leave it, he says to the disciple. Disciple says here, so you leave that and stay quiet, he says. So, and if you do that, you will become purnada, purnatvam will come, perfection will come. And the disciple says, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I need to understand what it is. He insists that I have to understand that. So, only if I understand it properly, I'll be satisfied. Because those who are in that way, remember I was mentioning this logics and reasoning and intelligence, some people are strongly stuck in that. They cannot come out of it. It's very difficult for them. So normally what will happen when Upanishads are spoken to them, all the Upanishads, Kathopanishad and other Brihadaranyam and all, will say so many things, and they will not, that's why I'm saying, Upanishads, if you read the books, it is difficult to, with this difficulty inside with us, with our mind, logical mind and brain, it'll be very difficult to go along with that thought, what Upanishads are talking to us. So what the teacher, guru does to the shishya, disciple is, He says to him, when he keeps insisting, the spiritual master start kept on talking to him. Hours and hours and hours from the Upanishads. Various things. It went into midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. By then, the disciple felt very tired. Because he has been trying to understand with the mind. And the nature of the mind is, if it's not grasping it, it will go into sleep. It will go into sleep. So eventually, when the teacher saw that the disciple is not able to stay awake, he is falling asleep completely, he told him, you go in sleep now. He was insisting that he must understand. Otherwise, he is not happy about that. He says, I must understand what you are saying. But after many hours, the disciple felt very tired. He couldn't grasp anything. So he said, I want to sleep, he said. So the spiritual master told him, you go and sleep now, he said. So he went and he went to a deep sleep. When he was in deep sleep, he went and woke him up and told him, come now, I'll explain to you everything in detail, he said. To the disciple, he says to him, I'll explain to you everything in detail, come now. He says, no, I don't want it now, I want to sleep now. This is how we are, our situation in this world. We will say so many things. As long as we are trying to understand with the mind and intelligence, Upanishads will always remain a very hard subject to get through to it. So he says to him, so when you are sleeping, he says to him that I will explain to you, woke him up. And the disciple says to him, no, not now, he says. I don't want to know anything, he says. I want to sleep now. So you can see how mind holds us. When it is in the vacant state, mind says, I want to understand everything. And when you tell him that you can't understand with the mind, he is not willing to accept it. Why? His logical brain is telling him that if you have not understood, you don't accept it. There itself, the mind and the intelligence is creating a block there. Yeah. So it's blocking there. And then, to make him understand, he sends him to sleep. Tell him to go to sleep. And when he's in the deep sleep, he woke him up and told him, you come now, I will give you in detail, explain to you everything. He says, no, I don't want it. Why? Again, the same mind and intelligence is holding him back there. He's telling him, look, deep sleep state is the best state. Sleep there. So, every stage, this mind and intelligence is playing its game, which we are not conscious of many times. When we had a deep sleep and when we woke up from the deep sleep and somebody tells us that, look, I'll talk to you about Brahadaranyam in detail, what is spoken in the Brahadaranyam. He says, no, I don't want it. And the same thing what he was asking for in the vacant state, the same mind and intelligence is coming back and telling him, no, I don't want it now. I'll prefer the deep sleep state. So this way it goes on. He says, when it's bright in the morning, when everything, sun shines, I'll come out. And then we can discuss again, he says. So, mind, body, mind, intelligence, all these things, we lost it in the deep sleep state. We lost them all, isn't it? We have no brain, we have no mind, we have no intelligence, no body, nothing. And we were happy in that deep sleep state, nothing we knew. So, there you can see there is no entrance for any of those things into that deep sleep state. Deep sleep state, none of them has any entrance there. Body has no entrance. Mind has no entrance. But when you come out from there, you are saying that you are happy. Is it not? You are saying you are happy in that state. And why is that? That statement is coming directly from the self. That statement is directly coming from the self. These things, if you have difficulty to accept it, what I am saying now from here, if it is difficult to accept it, for the moment, accept it without asking questions about it. Because it is in the Upanishads, it is like that. Because Rishis knows it in much deeper level. We only know mind and intelligence. That is the problem. We only know the mind and intelligence. So here, he says here, that statement, when you wake up from the deep sleep, what you make at that time is coming directly from the soul. Directly from the soul. From the Swarupam, they say. So Swarupam. One's own Atma from the soul. So why it is like that? The reason is that at least at that time, Krishna is indicating to us that Purnatvam or perfection is there inside us. Everybody has a perfection stage inside. But only an indication of that is given at that time. Only an indication is given at that time. And everybody experiences that in the deep sleep. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad that every day, night, we go into that phase and we come back from there. And every day we go, we come back, but we are not conscious of that. That is why, this is what we have to know. And this is exactly what has to happen in satsangam also. If proper satsangam develops, if it happens, that we become very serious about spiritual life, rather than story business, but become serious about what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as much as we are becoming serious, Shraddha develops in there, what will happen is that this realization, once in a way, it will come out through anyone. Anyone, it can happen at any time. But with the full knowledge, what happens is here, in satsangam, what happens is, with your knowledge, it is happening, not like in the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state, what is happening is without your knowledge. But in the wakened state, when it happens, it's happening with the knowledge. But in the deep sleep state, it is a dharmam of prakriti. Prakriti dharmam it is. Under the influence of prakriti, material nature is doing its work at that time through this body. Yeah. So therefore, body goes to sleep, mind goes to sleep, all becomes inactive. We leave all of that. Body withdraws, material nature withdraws the body from us. Body, we talk about. We think it's our body, isn't it? But actually, it's not our body. Body is owned by the material nature. It's a force in the nature, which is, we call it as prakriti. Prakriti takes away the body from us. In other words, how does it take away? Not physically, but that identification it breaks with the body. That's what it does. It breaks that identification inside us with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence. That force, whatever we call it as prakriti. Prakriti does that. We don't do it on our own, isn't it? That's very clear, isn't it? When you go to deep sleep, do we tell everybody, okay, I'm going to a deep sleep now? No, it doesn't happen that. As soon as you put your head on the pillow, and how it has happened, nobody knows. And when you've gone into deep sleep, also you don't know. Okay, scientists will put their meters everywhere in the body and check and measure and everything. That doesn't no meaning much. Because deep sleep state, prakriti is doing that to us. Yadevi sarvabhudeshu nidrarubena samsthita. Namastase, 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 namo nama. That's what it is. That Yadevi sarvabhudeshu, in all living entities, not only in us, in the elephants, in the cows, in the dogs, in the cats, everything. When they go into sleep, who put them to sleep? That prakriti, material nature. She puts it, she decides that I'll withdraw the body from him, mind from him, intelligence from him, and let you free go. And what? Where do you go? We go to Swarupam. We go into our identity, soul. That's where we go. She does that for us. But that is happening according to the prakriti's arrangement. But if we are able to do that in the vacant state in the same way, like prakriti is doing it in every day in the night, then we have also escaped from this whole thing. From the body we have escaped, mind we have escaped, intelligence we have escaped. So that is, but example is this, at that time you feel perfection in that deep sleep state, isn't it? There is no distress, there is no, and
Anandam, Shanti, Anandam. These two are the nature at that time. So, it is an unconscious realization at that time. Here, Muchukunda is sleeping, and Krishna is coming to see him in the cave, isn't it? Krishna comes to him. How is he coming? Krishna is coming like this. Kalayavana has come to invade Dwaraka. Kalayavana has come to invade Dwaraka. Who sent him there? Srinarada Maharshi sent him there. Srinarada Maharshi sent, this is the story in the Bhagavatam. Kalayavana was sent to Dwaraka to invade, and Krishna was, and Narada Maharshi also told Kalayavana how Krishna will look like. He gave a description of Krishna. Four-handed form, conch shell, disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand, and very beautiful dark cloud color, and dark cloud, darkish cloud, clouds color, and beautiful to look at, and wearing a yellow garment, everything. And Narada Maharshi gave a description of Krishna's form to Kalayavana to go and see him. So, if you say to this person, Kalayavana, you surrender to Krishna, or you engage in Krishna consciousness, he will not agree. Kalayavana won't agree. He is like that person. So, if you tell him to engage in bhakti and all is not known to Kalayavana, what it means. So, by nature, Kalayavana wants to fight with people. And he wants to exert his supremacy everywhere. That is his nature. So, it's like that. Where he came from, we don't know exactly where. He was a Yavana, so he says Kalayavana, the name has come from that. So, such people are there without any reason. They will go and attack others, take control of others' life, and invade other countries. Even now it is there, isn't it? You see that propensity in many places, that people want to control the whole world, control others, control others' life, and invade other countries, invade other people, in this kind of thinking. So, without any reason, they'll go and attack another country and or take control of others. So, here you can see, Kalayavana also was thinking where to go and to attack somewhere. And he where he has come, we don't know. He was a Yavana, it says there in the Bhagavatam. So anyway, he has come from somewhere, and therefore he was called a Yavana. Therefore, this Yavana came and asked Narada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi told him that you go and see, there is a personality like this, and blessed him that you look at Narada Maharshi's mercy to him. He says to him, you will get an opportunity to see him, to see Krishna. He is there in Dwaraka, go looking for him. Kalayavana goes there looking for him. So sometimes Sri Narada Maharshi gives benediction like that. Tumlechas, Yavanas, everybody. Like that he gives benedictions. In the Bhagavatam you will notice, Kirada Honandra Pulinda Pulkasam Abhira Kangha Yavana Kasadaya Yenyeja Baba Yedubashraya Ashraya Shudhyandi Dasmai Prabhavishnave Namam. Shuka Sarasudam in the second canto, Shuka Brahmarshi says there, Kirada Honandra Pulinda Pulkasam, various types of people in this world, and Abhira Khangha, Yavana Khasadaya, Yavanas are one group mentioned there, who normally did not follow the Vedic culture very seriously. So, Enyeja Baba Yeduba Shraya Shraya, but because he went to Srinarada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi out of compassion told him, you go and find Krishna. Here is a personality whom you would like to meet. You fight with him. It's worthwhile fighting with him. Explains to him like that to him. So Kalayavana immediately got very inspired to go after him. And he goes there. And when he went there, so they do not think that everyone, whomever they can give that benediction, they'll give that. So similarly, you will see so many stories happening like this. There was a king in Maharashtra once. It was a Muslim king. It was a Muslim king. Now, that Muslim king, he was very, he had taken control of a large area in Maharashtra at that time. And he had a barber. And this barber was a great devotee of Vithal. He was a great devotee of Vithal. So,
He lived not far from Pandharpur, where the temple is, and his name was Senanai. Senanai was his name. So, and every day he had to go and meet this king, and he did the shaving for him. And he was probably like a hairdresser or whatever you want to call him for the king. That was his job. So, but in them days you can see that there were many, many other barbers as well, and they were very envious of him, that the king has selected him to do this job for him. So, because if you go, normally barbers don't earn very much in them days. In them days it was like that. Now it's going up everywhere, all over the world. To cut the hair, they're asking £20 now, I think. Therefore, those barbers who have lived in that time, they were, he had this special privilege that he was the barber for the king, and the king looked after him very well, so he didn't have a lot to struggle in life. And he was absorbed in bhakti. He went to Pandharpur and was absorbed in his Krishna consciousness activities. So whenever he had time, he was chanting the holy name, and he passed his time in that way. So once it so happened that this Senanai was in ecstatic mood sometimes. He gets into his ecstatic state that he forgets to go to see the king. Although he had a definite appointment for him to do this work. So these people who are envious of him, the other barbers, they took advantage of that. They went one day when he didn't turn up. The king was a little bit furious. And the other barbers went and told the king that he is going to one temple and he is busy with this deity there in that temple. He mentioned it like that. And now, normally they are very much against deity worship, isn't it? In the Islam religion, they are not very happy with the deity worship. That's why they had always destroyed the temples in so many places, because of that. So he didn't like that this is what he was doing when he came to know. Next day when he came, he told Senanai that from now on, you've stopped that, going to that temple. I don't like it. And if you don't turn up on time, your head will be gone. That's how they were. The kings were like that. You can see that in the history all the time. So, in another occasion, a similar situation happened again. Senanai forgot to go. It was twice a week or something like that. He had to go and do this. So, he didn't turn up, but Senanai could not go, but Vithal had to take that form of Senanai and went and did the work for him, to the king. And that particular day, the king felt an ecstatic experience. Who was doing the shaving for him was Vithal himself. Krishna himself has taken that dress and gone and done that on that day. He did it so well that king was extremely pleased with him. As soon as he puts his hand on and the king's body, king was in ecstasy. Krishna's hands on king's body, he was in ecstasy. He goes away. And the next day, Senanai realized that he has missed it again, second time. So he decided to go back and tell the king that he had fallen sick, he couldn't make it, and some excuse he was going to make. When he went and told the king, king says to him, what are you talking about? King didn't know anything. He thought that Senanai had come and done this. So, Krishna says here that in order to help Senanai to execute his bhakti, that Krishna was willing to accept that service for him. So, in this way, that when a devotee wants to free oneself from this world, if he is clear in his head, help will come from Krishna. In some form, it will come from Krishna. So, you can see anywhere that this Senanai, except chanting the holy name, he didn't do anything else. That was his main activity. He did certain things just to maintain the body, that's all. Apart from that, he had no interest at all. Gopis talk about that in the Bhagavatam, you will see that you should not go to Krishna anytime. It's dangerous, they say. If you look into the 47th chapter, what does Gopi say about it? You will see there in the 47th chapter. There is an interesting statement from the gopis about it. Gopis are saying to Krishna, seventeenth verse. Gopis are saying, Mrigayuriva Kapindram Vivyadhe Lubdha Dharma Striya Magrda Virupam Strijida Kamayanam Belimabi Belimatva Veshtayan Dvangshavadyam Tadalamasida Sakher Dustyaja Talkatharta. Gopi says to Krishna that this is when Uddhava came to see the gopis in Vrindavanam. Uddhava was there and Krishna has not come back from Mathura, although promised that he will. He never came back. So Uddhava came as representing Krishna there, and they come to console gopis. And in that meeting, Gopi says to Uddhava, Mrigayuriva Kapindram Vivyadhe Lubdha Dharma. Remembering different activities of Krishna, what are they? That Striya Magrada Virubam Strijidam Kamayanam. First of all, he killed Bali. Ramchandra has killed Bali. That they are talking about it. This person, Krishna, is that kind of personality who killed Bali without any proper reason. Bali also mentioned that to Ramchandra. Why did you kill me? What have I done? I have not come to fight with you. Just to please this friend, Sugriva, who has done something wrong to me, I have only told him to leave this kingdom and go from here. But you have decided to listen to him and kill me because we have no enmity to each other. Why do you kill me? This was Bali's question to Ramachandra, isn't it? In Ramayanam, it's a big question. This question is still there. People ask this question. Why did he kill Bali? Bali has not done anything. So, he killed Bali, then Striya Magrada Virubam Strijida Kamayanam, that a woman like Shurpanakha came to him and she wanted to marry him, Ramachandra. Instead of sending him away, what did he do? Cut her nose and breast, everything, and send her back from there. Then, Belimabhi Belimatva Veshtayam Dvangshavadhyam. In the form of Vamana Murti, he came to see Mahabali. And Mahabali, whatever he asked, Mahabali was willing to give it to him. He gave him everything. And then what did he do? He cheated Mahabali, isn't it? In 3 feet, he measured the whole property of Mahabali and then says to him that I have no place to put my feet. Where should I put my feet? And Mahabali, in order to keep his word, he had to show his head in front of Vamanamurti. And that way cheated Mahabali and stole everything from him. Tadalam asida sakher dustyajastal kathartham. Who will trust this man? Gopis are saying to Uddhava. This is his track record, he says. Krishna's history is this. And you expect us to trust him? They are saying to Uddhava. Before Uddhava came to Vrindavanam, Krishna has told Uddhava, you are going to meet a very special type of devotees. They are different. They are not like the ordinary devotees. They are a very special class. They will talk in such a way that, but they are not talking out of enmity towards me, but they love me so much that they will talk like this, he said. So, because Uddhava knew all these things, Krishna's history, the gopis have brought about and spoke like that. Yadanu jarida leela karna piyusha viprun sagradana vidhuda dvanda dharma vinashtaha sabadi griha kudumbam dinamul srajyadinam bahava iha vihangam vikshujaryam charandi.
Yadanucharidalila Karnabiyusha Viprud. Once you hear about Krishna, what will happen? Gopis are warning us there that Sagradana Vidudam Dondvadharmam Vinashtaham. There is no more interest in this world. The world becomes a useless place once you get interested in Krishna. That is what will happen. So gopis are warning us that be careful before you take to Krishna consciousness. It can cause that problem. That sapadi griha kudumbam. There will be no family life after that. Dinam ulsarjya dinaha. That it will, you will feel so miserable. Everything is a misery in this world. Dinam ulsarjya dinaha. Bahava iha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. You will wander around in this world like the way they are mentioning here. Bahava iha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. Just like when the birds in some difficult seasons, they have to leave their cage. Is it not? They have to leave their cage. They know it. Nature's law is like that. Without any hesitation, reluctance, they will leave that place and go and build another cage somewhere else. That is how they are. They are forced to do that. Bahavaiha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. And they go like this from season to season. They may live in different places. Is it not? That's their way of life. Many, many birds, you know that they move from one part of the world to another part of the world. They fly and they set up their life in another place for a few months and they move back somewhere else. Like this, isn't it? So their life is very much, in spite of that, they don't protest about it. They accept it like that. So if you observe carefully in the nature, you will see, except this human society, they all follow the laws of the nature. Very disciplined that way, isn't it? They accept the nature. What nature tells them to do, they do that. What do? We go exactly opposite to the nature, as much as possible. That if nature does something, we'll see how can we control the nature, in what way we can do it. So that is the difference there. So here, it says here, Sabadi griha kudumbam dinam ulsrajya dinaha. That they move with the family, or sometimes in that process, family life also is finished, even for the birds. Even for the Bahavaiha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. And then they wander around in this world like beggars. Beggars wander around. Bichu jariyam charandi. Bichu means he has to live in this world, and they are not very particular that they have to live in this place or that place. Wherever they can get some food, they will get from the, go there, get the food, and they'll sleep somewhere wherever they have a place to sleep. That's how they are bothered about it. There's no permanent residence for them. They are not concerned about it. Gopis are saying here also the same thing, that dustyadastat kathartha, that we are also in the same situation. Talking about themselves, gopis are saying, we have followed him so far, we have lost our house, connection with the world, no parents, husbands, children, that's all finished. And then what happened? Hearing about him, we were feeling some happiness, and then he has left us and he has gone now. About Krishna, they are saying like this, bichujaryam charandi, so therefore, never hear about him. Gopis are warning here. Bahava iha vihangam bichujaryam charandi. Alam asita sakhe dustyajatal kathartha. That his story, if you hear about Krishna, what will happen is this. This will be the end result, will be like this. So many, many people, like the birds, sarvasanga parityagi, that means they become like that, lose all connection, interest in this world, and they walk away from here. They leave their family, leave their children, everything. So therefore, Gopi says, never listens to him. In a very joking way, they are talking about this. So, this is what is known in the Bhagavatam as Brahmaragita. So, this Senanai, this barber, who was listening to this, hearing about Krishna in many places, it made him serious about chanting the holy name. And ultimately, he became very serious about Sankirtanam, Nama Sankirtanam. And often this has happened to him also in this way. So, what we find there is that
that Senanai eventually stopped going. At a particular stage, he stopped going to the palace again. At this point, it has become difficult for him to go back to the palace. You can see in many devotees' case, at some point in time, karmam leaves them. Karmam leaves them. Till karmam leaves them, we have to keep doing the karmam. There is no other way. Whatever that has come through prarabdham, karmam is a situation with us that you can't do anything with it. Prarabdham will force some karmam to happen through this body. As long as we are careful not to create new karmam in this world and get stuck by that, it is the best situation. But whatever has to happen through this body will happen, that you cannot come out of it. But when the prarabdha karmam is over and when the Krishna consciousness becomes serious in life, then at that point karma will also say goodbye to us. Karma leaves them. So in that bhakti rasam, in that happiness of bhakti, he goes and spends his time in the forest. You can see this in many other, Tukaram's case also the same thing happened at the end. He'll go and sit in the mountains and he'll sit there and chant the holy name. That was Tukaram's life, isn't it? Wife will go looking for him into the mountains. He'll go there and shout at him a lot. And after that, he'll bring some chapatis and sabji and give it to him. And then she will go. That's how she was. So sometimes once his wife has even beaten him for going away like this. But still she loved him. She took prasadam. That is Krishna's arrangement. She did that. She brought prasadam for him, gave it to him, and then went away. So this you can see that this kind of situations, you will see devotees ends up in spiritual life. So by the time when this happens, he would have come out of this problem with the mind and intelligence. That is, you can see at that time that they are not looking for logic in anything. They have gone beyond this world. They have crossed beyond that world of logic and reasoning. They are in a free state to do things what is indicated to them. So there in the Bhagavatam, it mentions like this. When Senanai, in the story, what it says about that is Senanai did not want even to go to the king anymore because he didn't feel the need to go this. And the king goes after him later on. And king came to know that no other barber was as good as Senanai in doing the work. So Senanai, he went to find out where Senanai has gone. He follows Senanai and finds out that Senanai was busy in the forest and in engaging in spiritual life. So at that time, Senanai gives his mercy to the king, and that king has later on become a devotee. So powerful was that devotee. So here you can see here that these stories like this, what we have spoken about, sometimes people find it difficult to believe all these things. Oh, it's just a story, another story. There's so many stories around, isn't it? In bhakti process, when the stories are spoken, if you do not take it like that, but if you start bringing mind and logic and reasoning behind it, it will not work. Vedantam cannot help you at that time. Vedantam cannot help. That is how bhakti is. Bhakti's nature is like that. That there, and those who are strongly absorbed in the intelligence or in the logic and mind, they would find it very difficult. Can that happen? They will ask. Can it happen like that? Yes, it can happen. You can't explain that, why it has happened like that. Because Senanai was a devotee and he has come to that state, his Krishna consciousness has gone so high that whatever he has spoken has to come true. What Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Nirabeksham munim shantam nurvairam samadarshinam anubrajamyaham nityam puyeye tyangrirenubhi. That there, Shastram is not valid. There nothing is valid, it is Krishna's decision. That's all it is. There's nothing you can say about it. Why is it like that? that so because he had Shraddha and he had that surrender, that anywhere it can happen in any situations. So later on, the story says that the king also became a great devotee. So here you can see that in the Bhagavadam, Mlechas, Yavanas, they also became objects of mercy from Krishna. So Kalayavana went there and he asked him about Krishna, and that is why you will see in the verse in that chapter, if you look first three, four verses in the 51st chapter, then we'll look at that. Shri Shuka Uvacham Tam Vilokya Vinishkrantam Ujjihanam Ivodubam Darshaniyatamam Shri Shyamam Pitam Kaushayavasasam Shri Valsavakshasam Brajal Kaustubhamuktakantharam Pratham Dirgachadurbahum Navakunjarunekshanam Nitya Pramudidam Srimal Sugabolam Shujismidam Mukharavindam Bibhranam Spuran Magarakundalam. These are the first verses in that 51st chapter. Vasudevo Hyayamiti Puman Srivalsalanchana Chadurbujo Aravindaksho Vanamalyadisundaraham Lakshanair Narada Prokter Nanyobhavidamarhadi Nirayudaschalan Padbhyam Yolsyenena Nirayudham Iti Nishchidya Yavanam Pradravandam Parangmukham Anvadhava Jigritshustam Durabam Abhiyoginam. Those six verses he says here that this Yavana, Kalayavana, is coming to see Krishna. Actually, he didn't know anything about Muchukunda. Kalayavana is chasing Krishna. And they have come, and Krishna's description is there, those verses. How beautiful Krishna looked. And Srinarada Maharshi has spoken everything to him. And after, when Kalayavana saw him, from the description of Narada Maharshi, Kalayavana thought, this must be Krishna. This must be Krishna. And so Krishna started running. Kalayavana was following him. Every moment Kalayavana thought, I'm going to get him, but he won't get him. Always a few feet in the front. Krishna is in the front. Kalayavana is chasing him. And Krishna is running, Kalayavana is chasing him. Kalayavana is chasing him. That is what you find here. Iti nishchitya yavanam pradravandam paramukham anvadhava jagrakshustam durapam apiyoginam. You know what Shukha Brahmarshi says there? So Yudha Goswami says in that sixth verse that yavana, Kalayavana, is chasing who? Even the great yogis can't get him. And great personalities, Mahatmas and great yogis, jnanis, they are chasing him. They can't get him. And what chance has he got to get him? That's how he says there. That, and but he wants to get him and he is chasing him. That in every step, hasta praptamiva altmanam harinasa pade pade nido darshayada aduram yavanesho drikandaram. He says at every step, I'm going to get him, he thought. And he was going to get him, but suddenly Krishna has gone another feet further. So this way, this chasing went on. It's not like our running marathon. It's not like that. It is Krishna is running, Kalayavana is running behind. He's not getting him, he's running after him. So palayanam yadukule jadasya tavano jidam idikshipan anugado nainam prabhada shubham. So he says to, at the same time he's telling him, saying to Krishna, you are born among the Yadavas and it's not proper for you to run like this. But Shukha Brahmarshi says there that idikshipannanugado nainam prabhada shubhaha. You won't get him till your karma vasana has gone from inside. As long as there is karma in us, there is karma vasana in us, you won't get Krishna. That is the conclusion. He says, this is the way the Shukha Brahmarshi's language. Sukadeva Goswami is saying to us, palayanam yadugule jadasya tavano jidam idikshipanna nigado nainam prabhada shubhaha. Nainam prabhada shubhaha. That karma vasana inside, or the impressions inside, that has not gone. Vasana kshayam has not happened. So there is no possibility. Evam kshipto bhi bhagavan pravishad giri gandharam so bhi pravishtastatrayanyam shayanam dadrashenaram. So he is continuously abusing Krishna and he is running after him. It is at that time that Krishna ran into this mountain and ran into this cave. And when Krishna got into the cave, he saw somebody sleeping there. Krishna saw there somebody sleeping there. And Krishna moved around him and went further. So you can see Chadurbhujo Aravindaksha, four-handed form he is seeing Krishna. He is seeing Krishna in the four-handed form. So that is how Yavana, Kalayavana was seeing him. That is what is spoken here. Prithudirga Chadurbahum. He had four hands. When Krishna was running, he had four hands with him. There is not many places in the Bhagavatam Krishna has shown that four-handed form. You will see Draupadyascha Chadurbhuja in the first canto. When Ashwatthama was killed, defeated by Arjuna, and they tied him and brought him in front of Draupadi, Krishna had four-handed form. So in certain situations, Krishna has exhibited that four-handed form. So he looked at Krishna, and Krishna appearance time also Krishna has done that, isn't it? Four-handed form he appeared. So here he says that he asked him, "Who are you?" He says here, "Nityoham." Fifth, he says. No. Nitya pramudidam shrimal sugabolam shujasmidam. Third verse. Mukharavindam vibhranam spuranmagara kundalam. Vasudeva ohyamayamidi puman shrival salanchaneihi. Chadurbhujo aravindaksho vanamali adisundaraha. So all this is all referring to him. And if you go further, in the 21st verse you will see. Evam mukta savai devan abhivandya maha yashaha ashayishto griha avishto nidraya devadatrayaha. No, here you can see here that all the qualifications or the features of Krishna, what was spoken by Sri Narada Maharshi, that was all there. And also he noticed that Sri Valsam was there, and also Vanamala, the garland of forest flowers, he was here, and very beautiful, and also he is enjoying that beauty of Krishna at that time. And Sri Narada Maharshi's instructions, he had come here, and he has also no weapon with him. And so when he saw, Kalyavana saw that Krishna had no weapon, he decided to follow him without any weapon. He followed the rules of the dharma or the war, rules of the war, that he has no weapon, so I will also won't carry any weapon. And he goes there, and therefore you can see, to reach Krishna, there are so many problems that happens on his way, and sometimes devotees have to act in certain ways to please Krishna also. Here you can see sometimes bhakti, meditation, japam, all these things may not end up in Krishna realization, in the truth. You will see so many examples like that. Arjuna and Shiva had a big fight at one instance. Arjuna smashed Shiva's head with this bow. He smashed that. And Shiva was pleased with the spirit of Arjuna and gave him Pashupadastram, isn't it? So the devotees have sometimes pastimes like that, which are not quite unusual. And you'll also see there were, Shiva had another devotee, he was one of the Nayanars, famous devotee, Kanapa Nayanar he was called. He lived in the forest, he didn't know anything, he was not very cultured, he has not studied any Shastram, but he had a great faith in Shiva. What he used to do, he used to bring water from the river in his mouth and spit the water on the Lord Shiva's deity form, Shivalingam, and worship him in that way. He used to, with his shoes, he had some leather, with the leather some shoes, what he was wearing, he used to use that to clean the deity. That is how he cleansed the deity also. Deity means the Shivalingam, he used to clean it with that. So these are devotees who had bhakti in them, But they didn't follow any particularly any process in that sense. So, they related with Krishna. They related with Krishna in one different ways. So Kalayana here comes and he wants to attack Krishna. And he is running after them. You will see there in the sixth verse what God mentions. Iti nischinda yavana pradravandram paramukham anvadhava jigrakshustam durabam abiyoginam. That gopis, yogis are finding it difficult and he is running after them without any weapon in his hand. And Krishna ran into the top of the mountain and Mujugunda followed him and Krishna disappeared inside the cave. And he ran after them. When he went inside, somebody was lying down there, covered with a yellow blanket like thing, fully covered. He is sleeping there. So he thought that this is Vasudeva. They thought, because he was also having a yellow garment there and covered himself with a yellow. In the darkness, Kalyavana could not see very well, but he kicked him by when he saw that, thinking that it is Krishna, he kicked him. When he kicked him, Mujugunda woke up from the sleep. He removed his blanket and he looked, and by the very look itself, Kalyavana was burnt into ashes. He didn't even know who it was. He just got burnt into ashes. Just like when we take us to the golders green at the end, it goes in the box, and the other side, he hands over to your pot with the ashes, isn't it? We collect that, we come back. Business is over. So here, only thing, there was no pot to collect. It was all, so something similar to that. When we go in a nice box, isn't it? All nicely decorated, everything. The box goes slowly, goes in, we chanting there, and we say that he's on his way back to the spiritual world. We say, and he comes out in a pot with the ashes. Yeah. So, when it was like that, he's lying there into ashes. At that time, Parikshita asked the question, "Who was he? This person? Who is this person?" Parikshita is asking now. Parikshita found this story very interesting. He says to him, "Who is this person?" He says, "Why was he coming and lying in this cave in this way?" That's how Mujugunda's story comes to Bhagavatam. Mujugunda's story is like that. "Who was that person who was lying in that cave?" he says to him. So Mujugunda got up and he looked. And when he looked, there was an experience of a mode of goodness everywhere. A sattvayam feeling he felt. Satugunam is everywhere. Presence of Krishna experienced. So you can see here that the cave was very dark. And it's a cave, which means there is no any freshness there. Everything is very dark and dull. So now the cave is full of light. Similarly, in Salsangam, even if you sleep, if the time comes, you will get, at that time you will wake up. You will get the message through. That's how it is. You may not get it every time, every minute. It's not like in the school lecture and college where you will listen everything and everything has to be understood. No, it's not. That when, if you stay in Salsangam and hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, when Krishna decides, Antaryami decides, he will wake you up from inside. And you will hear what Krishna has spoken, and it will hit. Straight away it will go directly to the place where it's meant to go. If it goes to other places, it is no use. It's no use. So that's why here our Mujugunda was lying there, and for the right time to come for him. His time has come. And there is no point in rushing this. You have to wait. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no point. That point of liberation, or when one comes to that point where one deserves that transcendental knowledge to wake him up, at that point it will come.
And he woke up and looked, and all around there was an illumination inside the cave. And that's why you will see in the 3-4 verses in the next chapter, in that chapter, 23, 24, 25, how Muchukunda is seeing Krishna inside the cave. How Muchukunda is seeing Krishna inside the cave. Yavane basmasan nide bhagavan sattva darshabha alpanam darshayamasa Muchukundaya dhimate tamalokyam ghanashyamam pida kausheyavasasam shrivalsavakshasam brajal kaustubhena virajidam chaturbhujam rojamanam vaijayandhyajamalaya charu prasannavadanam spuran magarakundalam prakshaniyam ralogasya sanuragasmide yakshanam abhichyavayasam mattam mrigendrodharavikramam paryaprachan mahabuddhi tejasa tasya darshidaha shangida shanagai raja durdarsham iva tejasa. So this is where Krishna is first time seeing Krishna's form in front of Muchukunda. Muchukunda has not seen Krishna before. First time his connection with Krishna, meeting with Krishna, with the Vaijayanti mala. Krishna smiled at Muchukunda seeing him, and that smile is coming from the heart, from the heart. Krishna has many ways of smiling. In the Bhagavadam, you will mention that, isn't it? Hasonmada karija maya. When Krishna's smile is this maya. Maya is Krishna's smile. He is smiling at us in this, through this maya. It's difficult to understand how Krishna smiles. There are various types of smile in this world, is not. You know, people smile in different ways. Smile has got a meaning, isn't it? Every smile has its own meaning. People smile in different ways. When Duryodhana went in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when he, when Maya's palace, Maya's built that palace, he had difficulty with the water and the land. He slipped and fell. Draupadi smiled, isn't it? So this laughing and smiling is a dangerous thing. It can cause problems also sometimes. Everybody said to Draupadi, smile, enjoy it now, take advantage as much as possible. Yudhishthira Maharaj felt very bad. That after all, he is a very senior member in the family, Duryodhana. And even if something has happened to him, we shouldn't smile at him. Krishna says to Draupadi, smile as much as you want. Encouraged him to deliberately hurt Duryodhana. He did that, isn't it? So you will see in different places, in different instances, how smile causes problems. So here also, our case, he smiled. And here, Krishna smiled because Krishna's smile is like that. Many times when Krishna smiles, we look at Krishna, oh, he's not such a nice smile Krishna has got. We say like that. Actually, seeing our ignorance, Krishna is smiling. That's what basically it is. But we don't recognize that. We think that, oh, Krishna is so nice, he's smiling at me. So let me take a photo with Krishna now. Because he's smiling at me. Let others see. But he is smiling at my ignorance, at jnanam, avidya inside. That you are coming with me to all your problems to me. Whereas you have created yourself all these problems. That's why Krishna is looking at it. So all these are in their smile. So our Muchukunda also has the same situation. But here particularly says there that his smile, he meant that Muchukunda, he was pleased with Muchukunda. That's why he smiled in that way. So we'll have a short break. You wanted to say something earlier. So Muchukunda vacham. Muchukunda is talking to Krishna. Ko bhavaniha samprapto vipine girigahvare padbhyam palpavadashabhyam vijarasya yugandage. Verse 28. Muchukunda vacha. Verse 28. Ko bhavaniha sam. Verse 28. Ko bhavaniha samprapto vipine girigahvare padbhyam palpavashalabhyam vijarasya yugandage. Asking that, he says to him that when the king Mujugunda saw Krishna there, nobody has come to this cave before. It's the first time somebody has come in like that. And looks like that he has been running. Krishna has been running also. First thing he asked him, are you the sun who had come? You look so effulgent. Or are you the demigod Indra? Or Agni? Or Kumara? Four Kumaras. So Krishna is saying to him, are you asking me who I am? He says. You asking me? The interesting conversation between Krishna and Mujugunda there. In the Bhagavadam, you will notice this, that Manyam tvam deva devanam, 29, kimsit tvejasinam tejo bhagavan va vibhavasu suryo somo mahendro va lokapalo varopi va manye tvam deva devanam trayanam purusharshapam yal bhadase griha dvandam pradibha prabhaya yataha shushrushadam avyaligam asmagam naravungava swajanma karmam gotram va katridham Kadrudham yadi rochadem. So, Mujugunda says to Krishna, if you can reveal your identity to me, who you are, that will be very nice, he says to him. So, he says, Krishna is answering that. If you look the answer, you will see there that Janma Karma Abhidhanani Sandhimenga Sahasrasha Na Shakyande Anusangyadu Anandatva Mayavihim Kujildranjam Sivamame Parthiva Nirujanmabi Gunakarma Abhidhanani Name Janmani Karhichil. He says to him that Krishna says, I have born many times and my karma is unlimited, he says. And similarly, I have so many names also. Sometimes I myself don't know what my name is. So how many names I've got. And how many times I was born. And then he says to him that sometimes you may be able to count all the speck of dust in the whole creation. But you won't be able to count my qualities. I'm a different person, he says to him. That you will never be able to count them, he said. Then Krishna says there, that Janma Karma Abhidhanani Sandhimenga Sahasrasha Na Shakyan Shakundenu Asankhyadu Anandatva Vayabihi Kujil Drajamsi Vimame, verse 38, Parthiva Nirujanmabhi Guna Karma Abhidhanani Name Janmani Karhichil. Then finally, Krishna says to him, Kalatrayo Bapannani Janma Karmani Me Nrupa Anukramando Naivandam Gachandi Paramarshaya. He says that sages, the rishis, they have tried to find out how many times I have born, but they have not found it out yet. Kalatrayoba Pannani Janma Karmani Me Nrupa Anukramando Naivandam Gachandi Paramarshaya. He says, and they are still counting how many times I've appeared. They have not come to any conclusions. So, in this way, Krishna says this to Mujugunda. And Mujugunda says to him at that time, Mujugunda says there that it is difficult to understand Krishna. It's difficult to understand Krishna. He says here that you will notice that Krishna says, I have no names. There's no particular name I have. In different lifetimes when I appeared, I have different names. Nanau Pashyande Kavya Chidra Jadu Managabhi. Chidra Jadu Managabhi. Actually, difficult to pinpoint Krishna like that. That who he is, isn't it? If you look into the fourth canto, you will see this interesting thing. In the 28th chapter of the fourth canto, there is a statement there. Aham, this is the Puranjana Vakyanam. It says here, 62, verse 62. Aham bhavan na janyastvam, tvameva aham vijakshvabho, Nanau pashyanti kavaya chidram jadumana agabim. He says there that Krishna is saying, I am you. You and me are not different. And you are not different from me. You are me and I am you. He says. First of all, understand this, he says too, because in our conditioned state, when we are separated from Krishna, I see the body and ask that person who you are, isn't it? Or he's asking me, who are you? I'll have to give my name, or to give my address, or postcode, or whatever we give to identify us, is it not? But when you come to the spiritual platform, this bodily identity is of no use. This question has been asked by Mujugunda completely on the platform of the body. Krishna does not answer anyone on the bodily platform. We have to understand that. Krishna won't answer us on I am Krishna, my house is in Golagam, this is my postcode. Krishna won't answer in that way. Would he? He can't afford to answer that because he's everywhere. Well, if you ask him, where are you not there? That's the place you have to look for. See, Krishna's difficulty also you have to understand. We have no difficulty because we have identified with the body anyway. And we will say, I am so-and-so, I am Mujugunda, Ikshvaku's dynasty, all this he is saying. Krishna could not answer in that same way. I am Krishna, my house is in Vrindavan or Golokam or whatever he wants to say. I am son of... He says, no, that way I don't speak. Krishna can't speak because that's not Krishna's situation. If Krishna has to speak like that, Krishna has to be like us in the same ignorance of the body. So that's why Krishna did not answer that properly. You can see that. And you can see this same thing spoken in the when Krishna appeared for Prajina Brahis also. In that story, Piranjanovakhyanam, Krishna is saying here, Aham Bhavana Janyastvam Tomevaham Vijakshvabho Nanau Pashyandi Kavayaha Chidram Jadumana Agabi. He says here, when, remember this story that Puranjani and Puranjana, that story. When Puranjani had eventually taken birth and married this son of Maledhvaja, she was born as a daughter of Vidarbha king and married Maledhvaja, and then one day the story ends there. Brahmana comes from the Manasa Sarasa. It's given a very dramatic way. It is present in the Bhagavatam because it's Puranjanobhakhyanam is like that. He comes and says to her, Don't you remember me? He says to him, Aham Bhavan, you are me and I am you, he says to her. And they took two birds form and they flew away from there. When Prajina Brahis heard that story, he's asking that what kind of story is this? The whole story is based Paroksham. Paroksham means it is spoken in a paroksham, indirect way. Not directly, indirect way, the life of spiritual life of a personality who has taken birth in this world, how it ended up in liberation. That's what it is that story about. So there it was spoken, Aham Bhavana Chanyastvam Tomevaham Vijakshabho. Nanau Pashyandi Kavaya Chidram Jadu Managabi. When self-realization happens, we are not this body anymore, is it not? We are not this body anymore. We have come to our proper identity as the soul. We are the soul then. And on a spiritual platform, we have the same identity as Krishna. We have the same identity as Krishna. That our identity at that time is soul, not body anymore. Therefore, when that Brahmana said that to Puranjani, says to her, that you and me are the same person, don't you remember me? Remember, in the Upanishad story also, when the two birds are sitting on the tree, one tree is eating the fruit and experiencing the happiness and distress of this world. The other bird is sitting on the tree without doing anything. When this bird turns its attention towards the other bird, and after experiencing all the distress of this world, this bird goes back to the other bird. And one day, what happens? Upanishad says, there's only one bird. The other bird disappears.
Where has it disappeared? Because in all aspects, this bird has become the other bird. It's the other bird that has come as this bird, first of all. So Jivalpa, Paramalpa relationship from the Upanishads, it is like that. It is in that way. That Jivalpa is, Jiva state is Ahankaram, false ego. That is the state. Limited to the body, limited to the mind, limited to the intelligence and ego. But when ego goes away, mind, intelligence, and body is not anymore functioning. In consciousness, it has come in its pure state. It is in same relationship with Krishna also, with the soul. It has no separated existence at that time. He says, Aham bhavana jamyastvam, tvamevaham vijakshvabho. You are me and I am you. There is only one eye there. There is no two eyes existing anymore. And nanau pashyandikavaya chidram jadu managabi. So there he says here, intelligent people, nanau pashyandikavaya chidram jadu managabi. Intelligent people do not see any difference anymore. But now you can see here the problem with our Muchukunda. Muchukunda has asked all this question to Krishna. And Krishna has answered in this unusual way, isn't it? He is saying to him, Kalatrayobavannani janmakarmani me nrupam anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshaya. Verse 39. Kalatrayobavannani janmakarmani me nrupam. Then, first of all, for Krishna, past, present, future doesn't exist. That's for us, is it not? So, when Krishna is speaking, he says, I haven't counted. For him, there is no past, there is no present, there is no future. Krishna means what? Always existing. Something which is existing all the time. For him, where is the past, present and future? For us now, there is past, present and future. Why? Because based on the body. Because of the body, we have the problem. That we consider, oh, I was a child, I was a young man, I'm a middle-aged man, I'm an old man, I'll be older later. This logic is very strong in our head. It is implanted there very strongly. Therefore, when we contact with somebody else also, we expect the same way the response from there. That's the problem. That's what Vedavyasa is trying to do. Get out of this understanding from the bodily level everything. Everything on a bodily level. Body level means all this ajnanam, avidya. That is what bodily level means. Ajnanam and avidya. So, when he asked this question, Krishna answers, Kalatrayobavannani janmakarmani me nrupam. Okay, if you want to say that past, present and future, and if you say to me that how many times I have taken birth, as far as Krishna is concerned, all living entities are Krishna's expansions. It is Krishna who got inside every body as Antaryami and kept this body going. Is it not? So, because it is like that, what shall Krishna answer now? If you put a question to him like that. We, from our limited body and mind, we are putting the same question to Krishna and asking him. So, Krishna is answering, Kalatrayobavannani janmakarmani me nrupa. At different times, because everyone who was born in this world and who died in this world, again taken birth, that's all Krishna's expansions only. There is no difference at all. Janma karmani medrava. Then he says, Anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshaya. And sages have been trying to understand this. They were not trying to find out how many times Krishna has appeared. What they are saying, what Krishna is saying here is, the sages trying to understand me, my real nature. What is it? It's purely spiritual. It's nothing to do with the matter. And they are trying for self-realization, but they have not all succeeded completely in that yet. That is what Krishna is saying there. If you read that verse, you will start thinking sages are sitting and counting how many times Krishna has appeared. No, not that. It has to be understood in this way, that Krishna has appeared. Every appearance and disappearance in this world is Krishna. It is Krishna who is appearing through these different bodies. Krishna is appearing, disappearing also from these different bodies. When Krishna disappears, the body is over. Krishna appears, the body gets alive. So, Kalatrayobavannani janmakarmani me nrupa anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshayam. So Krishna, there you can see in that chapter that Krishna says to him that when it is the right time, Krishna comes as the spiritual master and instruct him about realization, about self-realization. And he says to him, you and me are one and the same. In the case of that Puranjana Upakhyanam, it says, you and me are one and the same. I have come here to tell you that. It's me and you are one and the same. So, this is something, this statement is something we have to realize inside. It's not by someone saying that has to happen. All these statements, Upanishad's knowledge is brought up through the stories. So when they say like this, that this, you and me are one and the same, Tattvamasi Mahavakyam, the famous Upanishad's statement, Tattvamasi, is what is spoken here. Tattvamasi, you are that. Shodagedu, in the Chandra Upanishad, you will see that story. That ultimately, this little boy realizes who I am not different from him. One and the same, Tattvamasi, they call it. They say that famous statement is Tattvamasi. So Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is spoken here, that you and me are one and the same. You are not different from me. So when that is not to be understood by mind and intelligence, that has to be experienced inside. So that Chit Shakti, when it comes out and speaks like that from inside, that whether we understand with the mind or not, it has no meaning. Mind has nothing to do that. Aham to tomeva aham. So here, right in front of Mujunda, Krishna is standing there and is asking to Mujunda, what benediction do you want? He says to Mujunda. And he says to him, right now you can call me as Vasudev, he says. You can call me as Vasudev. Because whoever has seen me, he should not struggle anymore in this world after that. And you can ask me what you want. So at that time, it is interesting what happened between Mujgunda and Krishna. We are all waiting for Krishna to ask us what you want. If Krishna has asked us, what do you want? What will be the answer? We'll say, Krishna will say to Krishna, Krishna, don't ask us that question. Would we say that? Well, that's what Mujgunda said. There's only very few people in the Bhagavatam even who have spoken like that. Like Mujgunda has spoken. And you will also notice Prahlada has spoken like that, isn't it? What did he say to him? He says to him that actually that is the problem, that because Krishna knows us well, that's why he is hesitating to come in front of us. He doesn't want to come because he knows us well. Whereas in front of Mujgunda, he was free to go in front of Mujgunda. There was no problem because Krishna knows Mujgunda won't ask anything. So, because it is like that, that is why Krishna is still staying as marble in the temple. That's the only reason. Otherwise, with all this worship going on, at least some life should come out, isn't it? From the stone. It's not happening. Why? Because the people around all is not all that wonderful. They are waiting for him. If he shows some life in that marble, you can imagine what will happen. Whole BBCs, all channels will be there. The whole world will be there. So Krishna knows, Krishna doesn't like that kind of publicity. So he keeps as a stone only. He stays like that. So here you can see that Krishna is frightened of us. Therefore he likes to remain as the stone. So because if he moves that stone, once it so happened, some Ganesh started drinking milk or something a few years ago. You should have seen the whole world was in uproar about it. Scientists have come with their machines and instruments to check it out whether it is drinking or not. All sorts of things. People are just waiting to see. If a little movement anywhere happens, then they'll certify that Krishna has come. Look at me. I've done it. Made it. He says. So, so here, Krishna says to him that, what do you want? Then king is crying. King is saying to him. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find another personality like this king, Prithu. Also did the same thing. Prithu, Krishna asked to Prithu, ask for a benediction. Prithu says, please don't ask me for ask for anything. He says, and similarly to Mujgunda also, when Krishna asked him that ask for some benediction, Mujgunda says, if you look into the 46th verse, you will see there what Mujgunda said. Mujgunda says to him that, that is why Mujgunda uvacham vimohitoyam janayishamayaya todiyaya tvam na bhajati avajat anarthadruk sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanjitaha. That was the first answer from Mujgunda. Mujgunda is saying to him that all of them, saying to Krishna, Stri Purusha, all female and male, both of them, all living entities in all these forms, due to different forms, are completely enamored by Maya. Completely enamored by Maya. And therefore, because in their different bodies, male body or female body, doesn't matter, in both these two different bodies, completely captivated by Maya, not attracted to you all the time, Bahirmukha Drishti. Their Drishti is in the world to enjoy. Drishti is in the world to enjoy. That's why it says here, Vimohitoyam, that Vimohitam. Vimohitam means due to that illusion inside. Jana Ishamayaya, due to the power of Maya. Todiyaya tvam na bhajadi anarthadrik. That they will not come to you. They will not turn their attention towards you. Antaryami, Krishna inside. They will not. What will they do? Sukhaya dukkha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanchidaha. They get more and more interested in their family life. Both the male as well as the female. Mujgunda is saying here that both of them, they think that they can be happy here somehow. And for that, they made this, developed this what is called as family. And in that family life, they find great happiness and mutually they cheat each other in their family life. Mutually they cheat each other and get more and more stuck in that pit of family life. That is how Mujgunda begins his prayers. Vimohidoyam janayishamayayam todiyaya tvam na bhajatyanarthadrik sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanjidaha. Griheshu yoshil purushascha vanjidaha. Basically, about family life, this is what Mujgunda has got to say. Srimad Bhagavatam also will repeat the same thing again and again, because that is where everything goes wrong in that family life. That's what he says here, that Stri Purusha, what male and female form, every jiva has taken one body or the other. And then they enter into family life and they think that they will try to become happy in that state and they will not turn their attention towards you, he says to Krishna, they say to Krishna. And say, so grihasthashramam, household life, that place is, he says, either the male, the female is cheating the male and the male is cheating the female. The man cheats the woman and the woman cheats the man, he says here. Because they both are busy, they have only one thing to do in this world, to manage the affairs of this world. Together they do it. Managing the affairs of this world. In the name of happiness, mutually, they will talk about different things in this world. Karma katha. Karma katha means activities of different karma in this world. And yoshil purushascha vanjidaha. Due to the influence of Maya, both of them get cheated in that process, both the male as well as the female. And because vimohidoyam janayishamayayam, because they are captivated by Maya to such an extent that they have no interest in turning their attention towards Krishna. In other words, in household life, the seriousness of self-realization doesn't happen very easily. And no developing bhakti, no time for spiritual life, and also there is no desire for escaping from this from this entanglement either. And so question is that what is that for anandam? There is bhakti, there is jnanam, there is vairagyam, there is salsangam, all that. Why still the human species is struggling in this world? There is what is a necessity to be struggling. There are sages, rishis in this world, and they have given everything to us. They have given us this valuable knowledge of the spiritual life in various shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and so on. And they have also opened up a road for us to show the way they have gone through in this life here. But still, they are suffering here. The human species is suffering here. Why? Tvam na bhajati. Because they have no taste for Krishna consciousness. He says that there is no Krishna bhakti. They are not willing to surrender to Krishna. So, sukhaya dukhaya, prabhaveshu sajjade, guneshu yoshil purushascha vanjidaham. So, he says here, Mukunda says here, that they have been cheated, Krishna. He says to Krishna, they have been cheated. They are stuck in that. They are caught up in that. They are not able to come out of it. If it is like that, when it is like that, why do you want to give me a benediction now? What is benediction going to do? Normally people will ask for benediction when they want to enjoy something in this world, isn't it? Already, he says, Mujigunda says here, I am lying in a prison. This is a prison. This body is a prison. And inside this body, there is no possibility of becoming happy anyway. No matter whatever you do here. So, I am in the prison and you are asking me, just like, suppose you are in the prison and sometimes a prison officer comes and tells you and talks to you and you say to the prison officer, will you release from me? No. Instead, you are asking him, can you paint my prison walls a little nicer? Paint the windows of the prison room, and so that I can live here nicely. And this is our situation in the householder life. We never think seriously of escaping from this mess, what we have got into. On the other hand, we try to make it happy here somehow in this state. So similarly, he says here, what shall I ask you in my present state? And we will ask all other kinds of things, what we think is important for us. If we have problems at home, to get the problems resolved at home. So, if we have another health problems or other problems, whatever it is. So, this is why Mujigunda has already come to that state. He has started realizing there is no question of happiness here. No matter what we do here, it is not possible to be happy here. Mujigunda's very firm realization on that. That is what he is talking about here. That anything in this world, he says here, whatever it may be, that sometimes we may find they work very hard to become some big leaders in this world, prime minister or president or ministers, whatever that is, big positions, industrialists, businessmen, whatever that is. What happens to them also at the end? They also leave this world in the same way like anybody else. So, but they cannot see it at that time when they are here. So, just like you can see that the amount of energy they spend on elections and all that, they work very hard to win the election. But after a while it is gone. It is not going to stay for again. So similarly, you can say here that all things what we do with this body, eating, sleeping, and all kinds of things we do to keep this body somehow going. But in result of that is, I get various problems with this body. We all get various problems with this body. And then some problems which will never go away, diabetes or cancer or blood pressure, whatever that is, comes, and then it stays for the rest of the life also. Then when all those problems comes, you can back to the square one again, isn't it? Your own problems. Where is that going to go? So nothing in this world is actually a solution to the problems. So thinking is this, that what Mukunda is saying here is that anything you achieve in this world is not worth the while. That's the point he is making. Nothing is worth the while. Now, just like for example, now say here, if 25 people or 30 people are sitting here. If 30,000 people sit here, that's not going to make any difference in my life. Nothing. Nothing will change, isn't it? So, it is not going to change anything. It is the same story. Still, I have the same problems with my body is concerned. All other problems of life is not going to go away. So, Mujukunda's point is, Maya, when it operates, it holds you so tight that with all, every moment it gives you an impression that things can be made better, but it cannot be made better in any way. That is the first point he is making it clear. So, it will take a little while to come to this understanding that everything we achieve in this world is useless. Everything. What we achieve in this world ultimately is useless. To come to that understanding, it will take some time. Initially, people will argue if you say this to anybody. But after a while, your own understanding will come when things go seriously wrong in life, and you'll also notice that with a certain amount of intelligence and with the help of the great devotees, you can understand this principle that everything in this world at the end is a waste of time. You see? Waste of time. That is why he mentions here. So, what have we done? We have come here, worked hard, acquired a lot of things, and nothing but particularly, by the time I've understood that it was all a waste of time, the time is over. That's what happens in all our life, isn't it? We come here when we were told you should go to school, you should go to college, you should study this, you should get a job, earn money, buy a house, live there. So many things. So society has told us and parents have told us, and we did all that. And then he started thinking, what did I do all this for? What did I gain from this at the end? One day it's all going to go in one way and we'll be gone from here. So then you start realizing that was it worth the while? And then the answer is a clear no. It was not worth. So that, but to come to that understanding, it will take some time. It won't happen very easily. It won't happen very easily. So that's why he says here, at one time he says, it is not an ordinary person is saying this. That's also you have to remember. Mujukunda, who was an emperor, he is saying this. Who had everything with him, he is saying this. So it means a lot. It's not like us saying that, isn't it? But he says here, Kalo gada aha. You will see there. Vimohidoyam janayesha mayaya todiyaya tvam na bhajatyanarthadrikha sukhaya dukha prabhaveshu sajjade griheshu yoshil purushascha vanchidaha labdhva jano durlabhamatramanusham katanchida vyangamayat nadhonakha padaravindam na bhajatyasan madir grihanda kupo kupe patito yatha pashu mama isha kalo jida nishpalo gado. He says, mama isha kalo jida nishpalo gado. All my time was completely wasted. Mujukunda is saying to Krishna, mama jida mama isha kalo jida nishpalo gado. Nishpalo gado. As I said before, Parikshit said the same thing. Here, Mujukunda is also saying exactly the same thing. It was a complete waste of time. It was a complete waste of time. That is why he mentions here So, Mujukunda says here, Mamesha kale chida nishpalo gadaha. King is saying this. One who has reached the very highest position, he is saying this. So, he says to Krishna, my life was a complete waste of time. You have to take it in a very serious way, what he is saying here. Because it's coming from the very deep part of his heart, from the depth of his heart, he is speaking this, that I have wasted my time here. Why is he able to say that? Because in that solar dynasty, as he said before, many other great personalities who had come before, like Ikshvaku and others who were before him, they all perfected their life and went back. I did not do it, that guilt inside. He is feeling that guilt inside. You have to look from their position, only then you will understand that, why he said that. That others, they all took advantage and left, this world. They came here, they did their business, whatever they had to do, but behind the scene, they worked from the spiritual level, completely in spiritual realization. And they perfected their life and left this world without coming back again here. Whereas me, what has happened to me? I did not get any spiritual success here. No success in the spiritual side. I am still here and I feel very depressed about that. He is openly saying this to Krishna. Unless you reach that state, you can't speak to Krishna in that way. That means when he said this to Krishna, you can see that how pure inside he was. How purified he was inside, that he was able to make a statement like this to Krishna. So sure that this life is only meant for self-realization, and he has wasted all his life engaged in war, collecting taxes from the public, managing the administration. That's all fine, he had to do it as a king. But the purpose for which Krishna had sent us here, that did not happen. That is why he is feeling that deep regret inside. That's why he is saying like that. So, because he says here, I feel now, he says, I am a king and I have plenty of wealth. And any time if I call, there were people to stand and salute me. It was all there. And now when I look back, he says, it was all a complete waste, an empty feeling inside. This happens to everyone in this world. When we leave this world, that is how we leave. Everybody at some point in time will come to the same conclusions. Big, big businessmen. Nobody has left this world happily. They had to leave things here. Problems happens at the time of death. They realize it, that this body have been utilized for purpose for which it was meant. It did not happen. Why? Srishtva Purani. Purani. If you look into the 11th canto, there is a verse there. 9th chapter, verse 28. Srishtva Purani. Ajayatma Shaktya. Burkshan Sarin. Srigapashun. 9th chapter, if you look, you will see that what is the purpose of this human body? Krishna explains that to Uddhava there in the 9th chapter. Verse 28, 9th chapter. Srishtva Purani Vividhan Ajayatma Shaktya Vrikshan Sarin Sripapashun Khagadam Shamalsyan Taisteira Dushtakhdaya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmavaloka Dushanam Udamapadevaha Brahmavaloka Dushanam Brahmavaloka Dushanam Udamapadeva. He says there, isn't it? So what does that mean? Srishtva Purani Brahma, after he has created trees, plants, animals, birds and fish, aquatics, everything, so many different bodies he has created through the power of Yogamaya, created that, never he was satisfied. Because he saw that in that body it was not suitable for self-realization. Ultimately, when he created the human body, he felt happiness, he says there. Brahmavaloka Dushanam Udamavadeva. Why? He noticed that this particular body has a capability for self-realization, to know what we are. So seeing that, Brahma was very, very pleased. Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayatma Shaktya Vrikshan Sarin Sribhavashun Khagadam Shamalsyan Taistai Adushtakhdaya Purisham Vidhaya Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamavadevaha. That Brahmavaloka Dishana, that is what Krishna wants from us. That is what is expected from us. And because only in the human body, Brahmavaloka Dishana is possible. It has got the power to cultivate spiritual knowledge. But instead of doing all that, Brahmavaloka Dushanam, we got busy with what? With a rocket, spaceship, computer, mobile phone, this, that, bomb, atom bombs, nuclear bombs, everything. And still there is no satisfaction anywhere. Where will the satisfaction come? Because Upanishads are saying to us that this body is capable of doing that only one thing. What is that? Self-realization. If that does not happen, that satisfaction will never come. And that is what Krishna is saying here. That as long as we are looking for recognition in the world outside, whether I can find some other new engagement. And simple question is that, where will I find happiness? Where will Shanti comes? So if you ask in that way, immediately Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita has got only one answer to that. What is that? Brahmavaloka Dushanam Udamava Deva. That Brahmavaloka Dushana is the important thing. That Krishna says here that this question must happen in everyone. And that is when Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam has any effect on that person. Book is not necessary, because Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if this question comes up inside, it is what is known as Shastram as Mula Anveshanam. Because how to free yourself from this distress of this material life, material body, material miseries, all these things, where is Shanti, where is fulfillment, and all kinds of things, psychological, biological, fulfillment, that none of them is complete in itself. After some time, we will realize that also. That we, in the modern world, we talk about those things, isn't it? Biological fulfillment, psychological fulfillment. Nobody talks about the spiritual fulfillment. Because spiritual fulfillment is the only fulfillment. Once it happens, it never gets empty again. Whereas all other things will go in the other way. So the king, Muchukunda, is saying here, body is all in a good shape, but na bhajadi asanmati, that bhakti is not developing inside. What can I do? He says. Muchukunda's problem is that there is no bhakti inside, he says. Bhakti is not inside. He has practiced a lot of yoga system. Ashtanga yoga he has practiced. So I am not endeavoring for bhakti, he says here, like that. I'm not struggling to come out of this deep well. And grahandakube padito yatha pashu. He compares that a person who has fallen into the well, dark well of family life. Griham andhakubam padito yatha pashu. A animal which was grazing, it has gone and fallen into a pit, deep pit. It can't escape from there. Similarly, about the householder life, he is saying like that. And everything was a waste of time, he says here. I was a king, I was an emperor, everything is wasted. And why did Krishna make Muchukunda to speak like this? We have to ask that question also. Why was Muchukunda was forced to speak like this? Every stuti in the Bhagavatam, those devotees who have spoken in their glorifications, it was actually spoken by Krishna through them. That's how you have to understand these glorifications. That they are not separate from Krishna. And never for a moment we should think all these devotees are separate from Krishna. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi wants to tell us, no matter what position you have in this world, what body you have in this world, what background you have in this world, ultimately you all have to come to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise it was a waste of time. To prove that point, so through Muchukunda, they picked up through Parikshit and Muchukunda and Prithu, personalities like them, the emperors, big people, great men. And through them, he spoke like this. Krishna spoke that it was a waste of time. If they say it was a waste of time, what's our life then? That question we have to look at, isn't it? That if Prithu, Parikshit and Muchukunda are telling us that it was a waste of time, we think it was a great success, our life in this world. So that's our understanding of success now, isn't it? In our eyes, Muchukunda's life was a success. Prithu's life was a success. Parikshit's life was a success, isn't it? Because they were big men, big position and all that. But it is the very same people Krishna has made them to say that their life was a waste of time. Life was a waste of time. So in order to get us out of this illusion, moham, you know, to get also, that is why that was spoken by Muchukunda in that way. So, shanti, all fulfillment, and for that, you don't require a lot from inside, isn't it? You don't look a lot from the world, a lot you don't require. So that's why he says that after all, what is required, we need some food to eat and a place to sleep. And more than that, any other desire that is created inside. So you can see, Mujunda says here that everything else, whatever we have acquired in this world, internally, it will end up as a defeat. It will end up as a defeat at the end. And so many success people think that creating a lot of assets in this world, you can imagine many people, many great kings, they thought in a big way. They don't think small, isn't it? Like the Shah Jahan and all others, they built Taj Mahal and all that. So, what happened to him? He himself got killed by his son. Is it not? So, if you look back into the history, you will see that all their life was finally a failure, isn't it? So, whereas if you go into such places, will you have bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam? Nothing will happen. There is no shanti, there is no anandam. Except that there is an excitement inside. That, so here, Mujunda is saying to Krishna, the greatest excitement in this world is you. Saying to Krishna like that. So, why? He says that if you open your eyes, that if I open my eyes, I see this world outside. If I close my eyes, I lose my vision. I don't see anything in this world. When I go into deep sleep, I forget everything. And when I wake up, everything comes back. And at that time, me, my presence, my awareness comes back with me. And for me, he says that this is the greatest amazing thing in this world. That when we go into deep sleep, when we lose our identity with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, and after the deep sleep state, when we come back and again, we get back that identity in the same way. Tvai Vishwa Vismaye, that means, as a Tvai Vishwa Vismaye, the greatest wonder in this world is not Taj Mahal or anything else. This one phenomenon, what is happening every single day in our life. That is the point Mujugunda is making here, that Krishna is present inside as our Swarupam, so Swarupam. That it is only that the fact that Krishna is present inside every living entity and giving that opportunity for that living entity to understand Krishna. Having given that opportunity to them, they do not utilize that. On the other hand, he is running around all over the world saying that this is a wonder, Eiffel Tower is a wonder, Taj Mahal is a wonder, that is a wonder, this is Niagara Falls is a wonder. Nothing is a wonder, Mujugunda is saying. The greatest wonder is that Krishna has come and sit inside this body and every night it goes leaving this body, comes back in the morning again and takes control of this body. And is this not the greatest wonder? Mujugunda is asking that. In that verses, that's what you will find here. But still, in spite of all that, you won't turn your attention there. You'll go after Taj Mahal and Eiffel Tower and all other things in this world. We find this amazing thing. We go there, take photos from all sides and come back, put it in the iPad or iPod or whatever. Then keep showing everybody else what I've done. What is this? That's what he's saying. Just shows that how weak we are in the spiritual life. How weak our position is in the spiritual life. Similarly, Krishna is here, he says here that we won't turn our attention towards Krishna inside. Not only that, we also create so many things and feel great surprise in that. Like when they created these rockets and spaceships and so many things. And so all these things, Mujugunda says, is the frustration inside. So if you want that happiness, Mujugunda says here that this inquiry outside must stop. Inquiry outside must stop. Where will I get it? Drishti. Drishti means that vision. The moment it goes inward, looking for the soul, Krishna inside, Antaryami inside, and then that shanti or peace or purnada or perfection, Bhagavat Swarupam, that will appear in the heart, he says here.
And if you leave that and go out, any achievement, career, attainment, everything, you can turn this world upside down. Ultimately, it's all empty. It's all empty. That is why he says here, Nishpalogadaha Mameshakale Ajidam. That means getting Krishna back is the success of life. That's what he's saying here. You see, in that third verse, 48. Mameshakalo Jiranishpalogado Rajashriyo Nadhamadasya Bhupade Martyalpa Buddhe Sutadara Koshabhul Asajamanasya Duranda Chindaya. He says here, Mameshakalo Jiranishpalogado Rajashriyo Nadhamadasya Bhupade. As an emperor, he is saying he had all these things. What good is it now? He says, I didn't get it, what I should have got it. When that chitta shuddhi happens in a person, due to association with Krishna, Sri Narada Maharshi's mercy, both are responsible for Mujgunda's situation. Somehow or the other, Mujgunda has come to the conclusion that the whole life was a waste of time. Whole life was a waste of time. And that is why he is saying this. Now he is himself convinced very much that there is nothing to go after in this world. So this is the state of Mujgunda. He is talking to Krishna in this state, which makes a big difference. So that's why he says here that Nishpalogadaha, what do I have at the back left with me? Only the false ego. That I have acquired all these things. I was a big king and an emperor. I had all this kingdom behind me. So many followers, so many this. It is nothing but my false ego who is speaking all these things. He says here. So, in the middle of all these things, he says, there was some mercy that has come to me. What is that? I'm no more connected with the kingdom anymore. Because in the process of going to heavenly planets and fighting the war there, by the time he came back, the kingdom has all disappeared because it's a long time he spent there. And so he's saying now that that was a good fortune, that I don't have to go back and take control of the administration of the kingdom. That part has gone away from me. So that is the greatest benediction you have given to me. He says to, Mujgunda says to Krishna, I'm not asking for any benediction. You've already given me what I wanted. He says, so you will see there from that 51st next verses, Mameshakalo jidanishpalogadom Rajashriyonnadhamadasya bhupade Martyalpa buddhe sudadara koshavul Asajjamanasya duranda chindayam Kalebare sminkada gudhya sannibhe Nirudhamano naradeva mityaham Vrudhuradhebhashubadatyani gabair Gam paryadam swaganayan sudurmadaham Pramatta mucchairiti kritya chindaya Pravurthalobham vishayeshu lalasam Tuma pramatta sakhasa vipadyase Kshulelihano hirivaku mandakaha Puraradir hema parishkrita ischaran Madanga jerva naradeva samidaha Sa eva kalena duratya yenate Kalebaro vilkrami bhasma samidaha Nirjitya di chakrama bhuda vigraho Varasanastha samaraja vandidaha Griheshu maidhunya sukheshu Yoshidam kridam ragaha Purusha ishaniyate. So these verses, if you read through their translations, you will see what Mujgunda is talking about. Mujgunda Stuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a opening up the mind of a person who has become disgusted with this world, who felt the need that he does not want to stay here. And that too, when it comes from a great personality of the solar dynasty, a great emperor who had everything, and he was able to speak like this. Such was the glory of those great personalities. That's why they are called Rajarshis. Mujgunda is a, he's feeling that my ancestors before me who had come, they all managed to perfect their life by self-realization and they never had to come back. I am stuck.
I didn't make it. That's why he is feeling so badly. So here you can see that in Srimad Bhagavatam there are many glorifications like that. So in different moods they talk to Krishna. Somebody in the mood of Vairagyam, somebody in the mood of Bhakti, somebody in the mood of Jnanam. Everyone speaks to Krishna in different moods, isn't it? You will notice that Brahma's prayers, Brahma had so many opportunity to glorify Krishna, Brahmastuti. In so many times you see there. In the Garbhastuti was there, while Krishna was leaving the planet he had spoken. Then in the middle, that Valsasthayam, that means when Brahma covered the calves and the cows at that time, that pastime of Krishna and Brahma, that time Brahma has glorified Krishna. So in different places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see Brahma glorifying Krishna at different times, isn't it? So for some devotees, bhakti is important. Some devotees, knowledge is important. Jnanam is important. Some devotees, vairagyam is important. Renunciation is important. So, so ultimately, the goal is to experience Krishna. So, why? Because in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami says there, isn't it? Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa. Tattva Jitnyasa should happen in a person. In order that Tattva Jitnyasa happens, it's a big science, this Tattva Jitnyasa, and what happens after Tattva Jnanam, when it comes to in Anubhavam. Tattva Jnanam, Anubhavam, that is another thing. So, Jivasya Dharmam Artham Kamam Mosham, isn't it? Kamasya Indriya Pridam Labho Jiveda Yavada. Sudha Goswami mentioned that in the beginning of the Bhagavadam. Kamasya Indriya Pridam Labho Jiveda Yavada Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa Nartoyas Cheha Karmabhi. He says, what is the point in continuously doing karma in this world when if there is no Tattva Jitnyasa developing inside? Tattva Jitnyasa is not happening. Tattva Jitnyasa means this seriousness to escape from this misery of material existence. Material body, mind, intelligence, practically self-realization in other words. If that's not happening, what good is it at the end? That's why Sudha Goswami has mentioned that in the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself. So, here, dharmam artham kamam moksham, isn't it? Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, purushartham. So, these first three things out of them, that dharmam artham kamam, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, out of the four, these three of them, is only for one purpose. That is what Sudha Goswami is saying, so that finally he gets mumukshatvam or jitnyasa. Tattva jitnyasa or mumukshatvam. In other words, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Out of these four, dharmam, artham and kamam is only for one purpose, to get this fourth one, mumukshatvam. If mumukshatvam happens, then the other three have no importance after that. They have to be left behind. You can't keep on doing this in the name of dharmam, artham, kamam forever. To escape from here, that strength, decision has to happen inside. That's why he's saying here. So when chittam gets purified, when that purification comes, immediate impact of that is atmavijaram. Immediately he takes soul very seriously and wants to understand the soul. So in order that chittashuddhi happens inside, that purification happens inside, for that purpose we need the sadhana. Sadhana is for that purpose. In the pure chittam, pure consciousness, that natural way, in a natural way, that inquisitiveness for self-realization will come in a person like that. And he will have the desire to know about himself. And it is this, what they call it as jitnyasa. So the jitnyasa is what begins in Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? And throughout Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that jitnyasa is burning at different places, in different people. Vritrasura, it's burning. Chitrakedu, it's burning. And so many gopis, it's burning. Uddhava, it is burning. Akrura, it's burning. That jinyasa for self-realization, and that is what you come across all the time in their glorifications also. They, for all of them, they know that this human life has only one goal. There's only one goal. That means a person who is very, very thoughtful, he will come to this conclusion very easily, going back to Krishna. So that same thing, if you are looking at it from the point of view of Vedantam, Jnanamargam, you will call it as Alpajnanam, the knowledge of the soul. Bhakti Margam, you will talk about it as the Bhakti Margam or Anubhavam of the Krishna. That's why it mentions Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Jnanam Advayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. Isn't it? Vadandi tat tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam. That tattvam is jnanam, is knowledge. Advayam, one without a second. There what's happening is when self-realization happens, we become that knowledge. That knowledge only exists. Nothing, we don't exist. Our existence is this knowledge. That is unlike, we remember this Brahma Vidya. The difference between Brahma Vidya and material Vidya is this. Material Vidya, you stay separately, you study a Vidya, which you study, and but you don't become physics, you don't become chemistry, you don't become mathematics. But Brahma Vidya is such that once you study Brahma Vidya, once you realize Brahma Vidya, you become Brahmam. You become Brahmam. That is the state way it happens. So, Brahmam Paramatma Bhagavan Iti Shabdyade. So, this Shabdyade, Yal Jnanam Advayam, it says here, because that jnanam, when it manifests inside the heart, then you don't have to know anything anymore. There is nothing to be known after that. Complete satisfaction or shanti, peace comes inside. So, with that, the door is shut for distresses. Distress cannot enter anymore. In the you can see that question in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you remember, that there was this conversation between King Nimi and the Navayogis. There that question came up. If you remember that what was the question? If you look into the 11th canto, you will see that question. Question says there that the the question was asked in the second chapter. Videha vacham manye bhagavata sakshal parshan vo madudvisham vishnor bodhani lokanam pavanaya charandihi. So there dharman bhagavadan bruta yadina shrutaye kshamam yai prior to that ata atyandiyam kshemam prachamo bhavano anakha samsaresmin shanardhobi salsangam shevadhir nranam. Verse 30 in the second chapter in the 11th canto. If you look at that verse, you will see that when he met the Navayogis, the nine yogis, the question Videha or the King Nimi, what was the question he asked? Question was, Ata Atyandiyam Kshemam. What should I practice by which Atyandiyam Kshemam? That means there cannot be any more coming back to this distressful state. Bhavado prachamo bhavado anakha. They are saying that, can you tell us that? Very deep question it is. That samsaresmin shanardhobi salsanga shevadirandranam. He says that even a small time, period of time, association with great souls like the Navayogis, that is equal to a great treasure. He says, Salsanga Shayavadara Nranam. So then Atyandiyam Kshemam, that is what is spoken about here. Atyandiyam Kshemam. So many Kshemam in this life. Kshemam means whatever our little welfare in this life. Sometimes you gain something in this world, you feel a little happy for a short period of time. Or something, distress comes, you feel a little miserable for some time. It comes and it goes, isn't it? So that is not Atyandiyam. Atyandiyam is that one. Once it happens, there is no more going back from that. These changes should not happen there anymore. That's what that word Atyandiyam is used. So that is why here also, he says here, that the Atyandigan Kshemam, how will that happen? So, in the Bhagavatam, while mentioning this, he says that Atyandiga Kshemam will not happen easily for anybody. For anybody. The reason being, he says, Atyandiga Kshemam, in order that to happen, bhakti is necessary. Bhakti is necessary. That's why, Dukhani, Dukhanyalokya Jendushu Alamuditam Vivekam Koham Acharya Varyalabdhva Tvadrupa Tattvam Gunacharita Gada Ulbhaval Bhakti Bhumaha. Dukhanyalokya Jendushu, all Jendu, all living entity, when they go through distress in life, Alam Uditam, what will happen? Inside Vivekam comes. Vivekam. Vivekam means discrimination comes inside. Otherwise discrimination won't come. Dukhanya Alokya Jendushu. When Dukham comes in distress, distress comes, Vivekam comes. From Dukham, Vivekam comes. Alamudida Vivekam. Oh. Alamudita kohamacharya varya labdhva tvadrupatattvam gunacharita gada ulbhaval bhakti bhumaham. That by hearing that point, that when you hear about Krishna, automatically from the distress inquiry begins. When the inquiry begins, he says here, it is at that time the discrimination comes. And when that discrimination comes, we can call ourselves as human being. It is due to this discrimination we are given the name as man and human being. Manushya. Manushyatvam is not the shape of the body. Most of the people think Manushya, human being means this body. It's not based on the body. Based on the body we are animals, not much difference. Only thing why we are called a human species is purely because that this Vivekam has come to him. This discrimination has come to him. Labdhva tvadrupa tattvam gunacharita gadha. At that point, when that discrimination comes inside, naturally there will be an inquiry will happen inside. Inquiry will come inside. Only when that inquiry comes, proper discrimination has happened and discrimination has started working inside. That is what he mentions here. Then, labdhva tvadrupatattvam gunacharita katha ulbhaval bhakti bhuma. That naturally, when that discrimination has come inside, an inquiry begins and desire to hear about Krishna. Gunacharita katha. About Krishna, Krishna's transcendental qualities. Krishna, what is Krishna? That inquiry begins seriously and with that bhakti comes. Maya menam taratva paramasukhamaye yalkripa modidahe. At that point he gets released from the grip of Maya. From the grip of Maya. From the grip of Maya. So normally we address this body as the human being. Actually, the body is not what is addressed as Manushya. The word Manushya in Shastram is referring to that Vivekam discrimination. Sages will only consider us as human being if this discrimination is there. If it's not there, they won't accept it. So, when that it is there, what is the way to free ourselves from the distress? This is the question. So, a person who has discrimination and who has that jijnyasa, inquisitiveness in him, it happens to him when distress comes. When distress comes, only when the distress comes, he will inquire about the cause behind it. Otherwise, he's not going to, because he will find out ultimately that the cause of distress is ignorance. Cause of distress is ignorance. These are all steps in the spiritual life. At different stages, it happens in people's life. That distress comes, and when distress comes, he realizes discrimination comes inside. When discrimination comes, he inquiry begins inside, jnasa comes inside. When that inquiry he will also understand that why I am suffering like this, and he inquire for a cause of distress. Then when he had studied Shastram, he understands that the cause of the distress is nothing but ignorance. Ajnanam. Ajnanam is the cause. Now, what is ajnanam of what? Ignorance of what? Ignorance of his own identity. He does not know what he is. That's why if you deeply look into our problems in this world, you can see all our problems have happened only because of this one deep mistake what we have inside about our own identity. Isn't it? We don't know what we are. Therefore, we are wandering around thinking, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this will solve the problem, that will solve the problem. Rishis are telling us, the sages are telling us, none of them will solve the problem till you come to understanding what you are. Their solution to all the problems is only self-realization. We look for solutions in different levels, and different planes, isn't it? But sages are telling us, don't look for any solution anywhere else. If you want to once for all close this down and this problem solving business, then inquiry about the self is the only answer for that. So here saying this, Swarupa Jnanam, who am I? That inquiry. So that inquiry, whatever you may know everything else in this creation, if you do not know about yourself who you are, then this is a great, that you will still be in distress. Even if you know everything else in this world, but if you do not know about yourself who you are, then you will still be in distress. You will not be resolved. Problem will not be resolved. So that misunderstanding about ourselves, in Shastram they address this as Moola Avidya. Moola Avidya they call it. Avidya is there. Avidya means ajnanam or ignorance in us. All of us have that. But the deepest root, in the deepest level, the root of all the avidya, we have so many avidya inside, so much ajnanam inside. But the root behind all that, moola avidya, they call it as, is this, what they in English translate as, is primeval ignorance. Moola avidya. Primeval ignorance, they call it. Because I don't know about myself, I am thinking this body, that's what I am. And that understanding, it is based on that understanding, this whole life is going on in this world. Is it not? Understanding that I am this body, all my activities day and night is based on that, it is happening. Therefore, Shastram is saying, if it is like that, distress must come. You cannot escape from the miseries of this world. As long as we live on the identification with this body in this world, no matter how qualified you are, how learned you are, how wealthy you are, how famous you are, whatever you may be, doesn't matter, the distress must come. That is the conclusion of the Shastram. So, and therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, there is only one solution, medicine, for this distress. What is that? Atmajnanam, the knowledge of the soul. There is nothing else we can do about it, and there is no other alternative for that. That is why it mentions there, kasmin yena vibhasito yamamalo jnana pradeepa puram. Remember in the end of the Bhagavatam, in the last chapter, kasmin yena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradeepa pura tudrubena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tudrubina. There itself, Srimad Bhagavatam is addressed as Jnana Pradeepam. Jnana Pradeepam means what? The torchlight of knowledge. Torchlight of knowledge. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam itself is mentioned like this, Tattvadeepam Puranam. This Puranam is the one which lights that knowledge inside in a person. So, this Puranam, Tattvadeepam Puranam, in other words, what actually reveals our identity as the soul. If Srimad Bhagavatam is absorbed properly, completely, ultimately it is supposed to reveal our spiritual identity to us, what we are. That realization must come. That is Krishna's bomb. Krishna's, that is Krishna. And when that form is released, you will realize it, that is Krishna. And mentions say, Krishna mena vehitvam atmana madira atmana. At one point, Bhagavatam is trying to show to us our Swarupam to us. And Bhagavatam is telling us, till you know your own identity, distress will stay. Distress will stay here. So, Mujgunda here, for the sake of controlling his mind, He has engaged in a lot of yoga sadhana before. He has already engaged in so many yoga sadhanas before. Pranayama he has performed. If you do all those things, temporarily you may have some shanti. Temporarily you may feel that. Many times you can see meditation, people who do meditation, they'll feel some temporary happiness also. But afterwards, you will see something. What happens to them is that after a few days of happiness, again, just like a ball, when you throw against a wall, it bounces back. In the same way, the mind will bounce back again. Mind will come back again. So, by any means, it's just like here, if you cage a bird in a cage, bird will stay there. But as soon as you open the cage, the bird will fly out, fly away. Similarly, that the mind also, it says there, by any means, by any techniques, if you try to control this mind, as long as that technique is working, the mind will stay under control. As soon as you remove the technique away from there, mind will move again. That is the nature of the mind. And as soon as the mind starts moving, distress will come. Distress will come. Therefore, Arjuna says that to Krishna also. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that. How this mind, which is the... he says here, by all means, I am unable to control this mind. Unable to control this mind. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dhradam. Isn't it? So, in Bhagavadam also, that when Krishna spoke about Kriya Yogam to Uddhava, in the later on, the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see, Uddhava also said the same thing to Krishna. All these yoga vasana, yoga practices, yoga sadhana, don't talk to me anymore, he says. Just like Arjuna said, Uddhava also said the same thing. I don't want to hear anymore this yoga sadhana. Because many people who have performed all this yoga sadhana, eventually they got tired of it. They couldn't, because it requires, even it's no guarantee, that's the problem. The mind is such a powerful thing, isn't it? Durjayana maham mana, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavadam, of all the things difficult to win in this world is one's own mind. How that mind will react, you try to control it, it will stay quiet for a while, but as soon as you remove that control, it comes back again. So this is the difficulty with the mind. So he says here that at this stage in my life, at this old age, don't tell me about any yoga sadhana, he says here. There are so many people, Uddhava says to Krishna, I've seen them doing it. Eventually they got so tired and they have given up at the end. They couldn't do anything and they left this world in distress. This is Uddhava's statement. Uddhava saying to Krishna, I've seen so many people practicing yoga system and eventually they got so tired with various kinds of yoga processes. And finally, they realized that they cannot win. They have lost it. And all they could do was to leave this world in distress at the end. You will see that in the Bhagavadam, how Uddhava said that to Krishna. 28th chapter, if you look, you will see there how Krishna mentions there. Uddhava says this. Second verse, Uddhava says, first verse, Sudhuscharami mam manye yogajaryamana almana yad anjasa puman siddhyel tanme bruhyanjasa achyuda. So this yoga system and all, one who has no control on the senses, for him it is very difficult, he says. How is it possible? Yad anjasa puman siddhyel tanme bruhyanjasa achyuda. How is it possible to get these things under control? Prayasha pundarika aksha yunjando yogino manaha Vishidam Dyasamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshitaha. That he says, Prayasha Pundarikaksha. Pundarikaksha addressing Krishna. Uddhava says, yogis, they are trying, endeavoring very hard to get the mind under control. And they worked so hard and they get tired at the end. And because they cannot control this mind. Vishidam Dyasamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshitaha. That they become restless at the end because mind is not coming under control. So difficult is the mind, he says here. So, prayasha pundarikaksha yunjato yogino mana vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshidaha. Mano nigraha is the most difficult thing. So, that is what here also you can see that Uddhava mentions to Krishna at that time, I don't want to follow that route. Tell me the way whereby I will have your mercy. How will I get it? What should I do for that? And Anjasa. So, the significance of this is, what Uddhava is saying here, Muchukunda has done all that. You see, you must remember that. He is Ambarish's brother, Mandhadav's son. Is it not? Saubhari married Mandhadav's 50 daughters. Obviously, at that time, the yoga system was famous among the great kings and the great personalities. All of them were very famous people. Saubhari married 50 girls, Mandhadav's daughters. And that Mandhadav's son is this Muchukunda. So Muchukunda knows about yoga a lot. He has practiced all of them. And it is that Muchukunda is a perfect example of this statement from Uddhava. Uddhava says that to Krishna here, isn't it? Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Prayasha Pundarikaksha, that Pundarikaksha, I don't want to go in that route anymore. I have seen many who have practiced all these yoga systems and eventually they could not make it and they left this world in distress. Imagine anyone after coming to spiritual life, after a long time, if nothing has happened, everything is empty. What will happen? What will happen? You know what will happen. It's either you will stop it and feel regret about so many years I've spent, nothing has happened. I'm still where I have started. You feel like that. Is it not? Or you may think, well, different people will take different conclusions from that. But serious people, when they have come to spiritual life, if they have not found any spiritual happiness from realizations from that, it will be very difficult also to continue. After a while, this inside, you will get this question strongly, am I doing the right thing? Am I following the right path or process? Or is there something going wrong? Because Krishna is saying to us, I've given you this human body for self-realization. Which means, Krishna do expect that something higher than our material existence in this world. So, in Krishna's calculations, that self-realization is the goal, he sends us with this body here for realizing the truth. And we, at the end of the life, is saying, I have done so many things, different things, different people told me, do this, do that, I have done all that. But the end, what have I got? Where am I? I am still feeling all the miseries of material life, I am still thinking I am this body, mind, intelligence and ego. And I have all the material miseries in this world. Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, everything is giving me the same pain. So, does that mean that I haven't moved further? Is it where I have started still? This question will come. Muchukunda is practically in that state. Muchukunda is feeling very depressed inside. You can see that. That he has performed a lot of yoga system, yoga practices. He has done all that. But still, he says the mind is not in a position to, if possible, to control the mind. So, that is why it says here, Shandi Anjasa. So, still, that Atyantiyam, remember that Atyantiyam word. Atyantiyam means that ultimate Shandi, what Kavi Maharshi, the King Nimi was asking the Navayogis, Kavi, and that Atyantiyam Kshemam. That Atyantiyam Kshemam has not happened to Muchukunda. So, he is feeling that vacuum inside, a voidness inside. That is why it says here, that's why he says, the demigods also asked him, what do you want? Muchukunda says to him, I want to get rid of that false ego from inside. That was his answer. That if you can help me, which means freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence and the ego, isn't it? So this ahankaram, false ego, that operates in two different levels in every one of us. In every one of us. Ahankaram has got two identities. Stula ahankaram and Sushma ahankaram. Stula ahankaram in a gross level. What is that? Actually, one person thinks in a gross level, very proud about himself, I am someone very important. On a gross level, it is in everybody to different degrees. Stula ahankaram. But there is another one, what is the Sushma ahankaram? That is what is known as Vyakti Abhimanam, individual ego operating inside on a subtle level. So those two things, so as from the point of view of Vedantam or from the self-realization platform, from self-realization, everyone in this world is Ahankari, has got Ahankaram inside. That is how, from the point of view of the Shastram, everybody is Ahankaram. And these two Ahankaram, Stulam and Soshmam, both are inside everyone. If you remember, you look into the qualities of an advanced devotee, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita like this, Amanitvam Adambitvam. Two things he mentions there. That Amanitvam Adambitvam, Stulam, Soshmam. Two levels it's working inside. Only when you understand the difference between those two Ahankaram, how it is keeping us always under its control, that is what makes up that what is called as Jiva Ahankaram or Jiva Ahanda inside, what we call it as false ego. So Mujjumda asked the demigods, if you can release me from that, I can escape from. Can you do that? Demigod says, no, we can't do that because we have also got the same problem. With us, demigods also got the same problem like that. So that is why it is a sushmam thing. It's not a stulam. Demigods are in the mood of goodness. All of them are in the mood of goodness. But in spite of that, they are admitting that we have the same problem. This ahankaram inside. False ego, I am a demigod. Even the sattvagunam, it is still there. Even though they are in the sattvagunam, it is still there in them. So freedom from the three modes of material nature doesn't happen so easily. That this ahankaram, which is the cause of our jiva handa or false ego, that what we consider as false ego, so long as it is there, it is impossible to get closer to Krishna. That will not happen. That is what they mention here. So we'll discuss it tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Suniti's house. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.